You're on, asshole!
Hey, check, ready when you are. Oh boy, it's been a while. This sounds weird. What's poppin'? We're back! First show on Monday, sorry about that, but we deserved the July 4th holiday too.
Yeah.
And we had the week, so we didn't cheat anybody, if that's what you're thinking.
Everybody was off though. Wasn't traffic really, really, really light?
It was kind of a weird week, actually.
Characteristically.
I'm glad we were off. It was appropriate. It was the appropriate week to be off. Let's see, we're in the dealsandthedd.com studios. I remember that part. That's the important part. And other than that, I'm trying to, I mean, there's so much stuff from the last week. It's like, where do you even start today? Although Mark had some great ideas.
I did?
Yeah, no, you were talking, we were talking about some stuff when you walked in. We were talking about the Tigers, which is unusual. We would normally probably wait for Maz Day to talk about that.
Well, my dad's down in Miami because it's the All-Star break.
Yes, and he has his All-Star game credentials for God knows what reason.
I honestly think this is what he lives for now, to go to the All-Star game. Having six grandchildren, having children, none of that matters.
No, that one, he's got a grandkid who's a super stud athlete. He is digging the hell out of that.
He does. He loves to travel and see my nephew.
I don't blame him. I think that's great.
Yeah, no.
That's what grandparents should be doing.
Absolutely.
Trudy, can you explain to us how Mark's dad is getting credentials for the Major League Baseball All-Star Game every year?
Has he done, he has done some radio work, I understand,
yes.
Correct?
Some years ago, yes.
And so he was doing, he was from the booth. Now that's how he's doing it.
But wouldn't you think those credentials would be...
checked out?
Expired.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Long
yeah.
expired.
Very, very
Seems
much
to me...
so.
Either Major League Baseball is very loose or Al is very weaselly.
Well, as we've said before, he delivers, though. I mean, he's always delivering to something. Well, he always calls us.
He does seem to get, well, yeah, he always sits up on our show. But we're not his credential. That's what's so funny.
Is that what he's giving as his radio outlet?
I think the way it works is it's up for renewal every year. And
some say.
As long as he keeps going, they're not going to question it.
As long as he doesn't miss a year.
As long as he, which is probably the excuse.
Not going to happen.
I bet you
miss a year.
Now that I think about it, I bet you that's what he tells my mom.
Mom, yeah.
Remember he pocket dialed us?
Oh, yeah. No,
oh, that's right.
So that qualifies as his annual check into the show.
We've had a lot of funny experiences. When we were on 105.1 and he was passing the phone around the locker room to some Mike Trout.
Yep.
I mean, some major, major stars and people at the station
V-Mart.
Who were outside of our show were like, oh, he's going to be in deep shit for that. And we're like, no, don't worry about it. Just relax. I mean, it was like they wanted him to be in trouble.
Who cares
anyway? Who gives a fuck?
Ugh. Oh, no. Major League Baseball's mad at you.
Someone gave an interview they shouldn't have.
Stupid.
Do you think in the office they have any discussion year after year when they're like, Al Fellhauer,
No.
That's what I always think. I always think there's somebody looking at those going, who is this guy? What does he do? Is stationed in Ann Arbor? He's in Detroit?
Yeah.
Is he really? Gosh, he looks a little old for that
look
rock station.
This. He goes every year, and he reports back every year. So, yeah, let's fill it out again.
They just answer their own questions, and then they stamp him, give him a big stamp of approval.
Yeah. Well, it's pretty cool, actually.
Yay.
I'm glad he has fun. And I love the
stories. Hard work, Drew.
Yeah. I love the stories like when he talks to Matt Damon for 20 minutes in Boston at Fenway Park and has no idea who he's talking to.
Oh, that's epic.
Matt Damon.
until he saw him on TV weeks later and he goes to my mom, who's that guy? She's like, it's Matt Damon. You know who Matt Damon is? Oh, I talked to him for like 20 minutes in the All-Star game on the field.
Oh, my God.
No clue. He would not know who Matt Damon
That's the kind of guy Matt Damon would talk to for 20 minutes. So if he knew Matt Damon, he wouldn't want to talk to him.
Because they're going
to
talk about baseball.
Right. He'd bring up his movies and be bored.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty cool. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Al has that thing.
He has that touch, that clueless touch. No, Al's a good conversationalist.
Yes.
If we get him on the air, it'll be hard to get him off. I can tell you that much. Meanwhile, your friends at Zot Ford, who just delivered me a new Explorer. Oh, my God.
Ooh,
I haven't even driven it yet.
It's hot.
I can't wait. Anyway, in Holly, they're making They make buying and leasing your new or pre-owned vehicle incredibly fun and easy. Yes, they have a massive selection of cars, trucks, and SUVs. They have a foosball table. They have fresh movie-style popcorn. And, of course, yes, the hottest sales staff in Oakland County. Plus, if you accidentally leased your current vehicle from another dealership, they will happily return that vehicle for you, just as they did for me. To, remember our old sponsor, Sarah?
Oh, yeah. See ya!
I got my last
our old sponsor. See ya!
Bye-bye! You mean, sorry, I didn't have time to bring the car back.
So they just took it back for you?
Yeah.
They do. Concierge did it back to...
I always thought that was a too big a pain in the ass, that you had to take it back to whoever you leased it from. But no, they do that for you.
Oh, wow, that's huge.
That's what I said.
Wow.
I said you should put that in the copy, because I think that's gigantic. Because there's always that odd moment where you go, I'm not getting another new car, so bye!
Right, get out of here!
Oh. I'm walking from now on, see ya! Just got a motorcycle. No, I mean, it is a little, it's awkward to say, but you know, Sarah's not sponsoring us. They were a good sponsor, though. They were really nice. Actually, I like those people. Zod had been a possibly better sponsor.
That is
probably
a really
definitely
feature.
Better sponsor.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know what the dollars are exactly, but anyway, they will happily return that vehicle for you. And that is a big deal. No need to deal with that. Oh, boy.
Awkward.
That old
get out of here.
Well, that.
You're just reading the copy now. Just read it.
I'll spare Sarah in this one. That old boring ass dealership. Oh, they've got us handled. No, that does not describe my former dealer. They were very
oh,
nice.
Boy.
But they're not as exciting as Zot.
Maybe not. They didn't write copy quite like that.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Keep our irresistible deals and massive inventory at dealsindeed.com. Boy, how did I get in that spot? Plus, we'll soon be announcing the incredibly lucky winner of the Drew and Mike podcast dinner. You got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? We hope so, and we look forward to dining with you and your lovely guests in the near future. Only if you win the draw.
All a lie.
I have a Zot story when you have time.
Okay.
I had to contact Gabara.
Oh, concerning?
I might have had an issue with my Ford Edge.
What happened?
It's crazy. The sunroof broke and shattered.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, it just shattered, so it was defective? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, it's crazy. I think the insurance company thinks an item hit it, which an item did hit it.
But it was
it might have been from my origin, but it did hit it.
What item would that be?
So you know my newfound love of cycling, or yes. You call it biking, cycling.
I call it riding a bicycle.
So. No, cycling. Come on, man, be cool. So I was at my parents' house for the 4th, and they had a bike rack.
Please don't tell me that you had to take your bicycle to your parents' house.
No. I got I took one of their bike racks. They're not using it, so I'm like, I'll make this work.
You have a spare.
So we can take the bikes and ride it somewhere other than around here, which is, you know, I understand that part. Roll your eyes all you want. But
already rolled.
So I get home and I'm looking at it and there's no instructions. I'm just kind of like, huh. Look online. This is really made for a trunk, not a crossover or SUV. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to try and make it work. So it's got hooks on it. Two on the side and then two on the top. And I'm looking at the top and I'm like, I guess I can hook it where the door comes down, but it's not totally on there, and it's a panel. Let me open up the trunk and see what happens. So as soon as I hit the lift, because that hook was in there, I just pushed on the window and went,
oh, shit. Psh,
oh.
No! Damn it.
Oh, boy.
Those are made particularly for a specific model. You cannot just...
They're made for a car...
Bellhauer... Adapted.
I know. This is, as I look back and I'm like, what am I thinking? If I put that on there and then added 100 pounds of bicycle, it's not going to stay on there.
And a bicycle is going to come flying off into traffic.
I know. But
necessity is the mother of invention, and this just was not the invention, unfortunately.
No. But you know, insurance covers it for being an idiot. So
hey,
well, that's the thing. It was.
I don't want to have insurance with that company. Jesus, I got to pay for all that kind of shit.
That's the thing. $100.
Premiums are going up because of...
Yeah. All our premiums are going up.
For all the windows I'm bringing. But it's $100 to get a window or a windshield replaced. That's the deductible I have.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just going to start breaking windows for the hell of it.
Take advantage of that.
It's
kind of
fun. $100, big deal.
Dr. Roche, by the way, has a new laser. Have you heard about this new laser, Trudy?
No.
It's some really funky new laser. I mean, it does amazing things to skin...
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I know people really dig it.
Which we called a laser.
Everybody wants perfect skin. Everybody wants young-looking faces and necks and all those things. And I got to talk to him about it because I don't know exactly what to say, but I know that he wants to talk to me this week about his new laser. When Greg buys a new laser, and he must buy more lasers than anyone because there's always a new laser there.
I know.
And they're really, they're
I just
outrageous.
See him like tinkering in a garage. There's just lasers. No, here's an old laser.
These things are super expensive, and it seems like he's always getting a new one. It's always he's always the first guy in town to have it. Yep. So anyway.
And it's always a scientific discussion, though hip at the same time.
Yeah, no, he is a good he's very good at putting it on my level somehow. I'd say Diva Tight and Diva have been the toughest things for me to grasp, but they do.
Well, it's because you don't have them.
I guess not. But I know what they're doing. They're tightening up the inside, and they're sweetening up the outside, and you know what goes on. We've talked about it. It's just treatments that take 3 to 5 minutes, a little laser, and then the sex is better than ever.
And that thing
you.
Looks like brand new.
Exactly. For you and for him, and everybody's happy. And what can I say but call for a consult, and we'll be talking about this new laser they have at Dr. Roche's office. 248-338-1110. 248-338-1110. That's still the number, right? 1110? Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah. Or www.droche.
Using these lasers.
Yes.
Test.
Lasers.
You can test burn me with it.
And so.
Don't get burned, by the way.
You know, I don't know where I'll start today. Just, I don't know why I'm starting here. But I was tweeting about this a couple days ago because it just pissed me off. I don't know why this hit me so hard. Tell me if I'm crazy. I was online and I'm reading about Mark Zuckerberg, 23 books everyone must read. And I just blew up. I was like, fuck you, Zuckerberg. You're a billionaire. So you're going to tell me what to read now for the rest of my fucking life? Fuck you, Fuckerberg.
You don't think you have a lot
to bring back bad nicknames from your childhood, but we know you were Fuckerberg. So fuck you. Shut up. I'll give you 23 books. I'm older than you. Just because you invented Facebook doesn't mean you get to tell us all what we have to read.
You don't think you have a lot in common with him as to what you want to read?
No, I don't think so. I didn't even check his list, by the way.
Oh, you didn't even look at the list?
I'm going to pull it up.
I did not even look at the list before I popped
off. What if you had something in common?
I don't think so. I don't think he's reading Otis Redding, An Unfinished Life. Just a feeling.
Whoa, you're angry?
Oh, my God. Google, I typed in Mark Fuckerberg.
I'm sure it'll come up. Nickname of Mark Zuckerberg.
Child.
Childhood nickname. I just was so annoyed. It's like, who is this guy? He invents Facebook. He's a billionaire. And now he thinks, I should have dinner with somebody in every state, and I should tell everyone what to read. And fuck you.
Can we quit?
Isn't that annoying?
Yeah.
You're angry.
Can we quiz him to see that he actually read these books, too? Or is he just naming them?
No, I love that. That's a great idea.
If he's that busy, how's he reading 23 books?
Exactly. What is he? Oh, I guess he can read a book that fast. As fast as he can make a message on Facebook, he can read a book. And then I see Bill Gates has a similar list of 17 books everyone must read.
Well, Melinda.
Oh.
I was going to say
Melinda. Melinda, I'm sure, has 18 or more. 24 or more.
She's got that plenty of books to read. That's all she's doing.
Who these people, I mean, I realized they came up with a great idea, and it made them $1 billion, but then, fuck you. Don't tell me what to read. Shut up. We're all using your toy. We love it. We think you're great. Don't fucking tell us what to read. Shut up. Yeah. Go away. Spend your money. Be happy.
You want to hear some of his books?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is a very pretentious list.
Thank you, Jay. Oh, my God. I can see right now.
Why Nations Fail.
Oh, shut.
The Origins of Power.
Everyone should read that.
And poverty.
Everyone should read that.
Maybe
really.
Maybe if you have $53 billion.
How many people are going to get past page 3? Are you kidding?
The Rational Optimist.
Oh.
How Prosperity Evolves.
They're all about money. He's got it.
What an asshole.
I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Portfolios of the Poor. How the World's Poor Live on $2 a Day.
Could you be more out of touch? Nobody wants to know that shit. We don't think about those people. We think we're poor. Fuck you.
He says, it's mind-blowing that almost half the world, almost 3 billion people, live on $2.50 a day or less.
Oh, shut. Oh,
I hope
stop.
Reading this provides some insight into ways we can all work to support the
better. 3 for 3 that suck.
Why don't
no
you
one
hand your
read.
Money out, Zuckerberg? That'll help him.
There should be 23 books no one should read.
Or no one has ever read.
Yeah. That's right. It sucks.
How about this one? The Three-Body Problem, the best-selling Chinese science fiction novel available in English for the first time.
Are you fucking kidding me, Zuckerberg?
It's a fun break from the heavier material I've been reading.
Wow. How out of touch can he be? I mean, I wouldn't dare to tell people 23 books I think people should read, and I talk to more people than that asshole does.
Yeah.
Genome.
More regular people, anyway.
Some pretty good books, too, but.
I think so.
Genome?
Genome.
The Autobiography of Species in 23 chapters.
Oh, my God. That's boring.
The author of this book was the author of another book previously that was on his list.
Oh, so he just reads all of Matt Ridley's books?
Oh my God. Listen. The Makwadima, An Introduction to History, the Classic Islamic History of the World.
Next!
Oh, yeah. We all need to read that, don't we?
He so does not read any of those books.
If he does, he's a complete nerd. I mean, honestly.
Well, come on.
Well, of course he is. But, I mean, how dare he tell us we all should read these books?
Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind.
Okay, so far, The Dirt by Motley Crue, I would say, ahead of any of those books. Any of them.
Yeah.
The Varieties of Religious Experience by William James, a guy who died in 1919.
Boring. Oh, yeah, so boring.
Probably the New really... Jim Crow.
Oh, that's relevant. Well, I don't know. Kind of is, again.
The End of Power, From Boardrooms to Battlefields and Churches to States, Why Being in Charge Isn't What It Used to Be.
Oh, you know, that's really great if you're in charge.
I'm just speeding through these to see if they're, I mean, they're all, if there's anything you'd be interested in.
No,
I think we can stop. I mean, this sounds like the worst list ever made. Possibly the worst list ever made.
Probably. I agree. I've not ever seen any of these books on any of the lists that
I wonder what's on Gates' list. I bet that's painful,
I'll just
too.
Look to see if there's anything good. What was his childhood nickname?
What if Gates is into
Gates?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. Yeah, no doubt.
What if he's into porn?
Yeah, they're
It'd be wild if he suggested
50 Shades of Grey.
That would be funny as hell.
50 Shades Grayer.
Actually, I'll respect him a lot more if something like that is on his list.
He's got 28 books. It's,
yeah. Oh, 28? Are you sure it's in Melinda's list?
A couple of them are the Better Angels, he and Fuckerberg.
He had, what, like five until Melinda got in the mix and went up to 28.
Yeah.
Bill, add these! there's not a book on here you would want to. Oh.
String Theory.
Oh, it's a David Foster Wallace book.
What is it?
It's called String Theory, David Foster Wallace on tennis.
On tennis?
Yeah, he
wants us to think that he plays tennis.
He's a tennis player.
Oh, come on, Gates. I'll kick your ass in tennis, and I've never played.
Oh, what a nerd. The Bully Pulpit, a Doris Kearns Goodwin book. She's the presidential historian.
No. Oh, God.
I will admit Doris Kearns Goodwin is a great historian, but I'm sorry.
I don't want to read her books.
It's not for everyone.
Her books are 8,000 pages.
Here's a jealousy book that he reads, though.
Dancing to Work. Warren Buffett. Everything.
He's probably like, well.
He didn't write it, though.
That had to hurt him.
No,
I'm surprised
novel.
That made the list.
A novel. No. Trevor Noah's.
I was trying to look cool.
Trevor Noah's autobiography might be the best.
This is horrible territory. I'm never bringing these people up again. They're so dreadfully boring. They don't know. They are absolutely out of touch with the world. They're so. I don't know how they even managed to come up with an idea that so many people could connect to when they are so disconnected.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Well, who are the people that are going to look?
It's a fluke.
And decide they're going to read them so they can turn out like them. As if that's what it takes.
Yeah, no.
Well, all the poor people that Zuckerman is reading about can't afford the books that he's reading. So how are they going to help themselves?
God help anyone who even tries to start that list. Hey, did you guys...
Phil Knight's book is on Bill Gates.
That's a good book. Okay. I'll give him credit for that. Hmm. What's that, Shoe Dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good book.
In Jimmy Carter's new book.
Fucking thing sucks!
But I would say Shoe Dog is only good if you want to read about a really inspiring story about somebody making it, a capitalist, some entrepreneur. It's a really inspiring story. But, you know, it was really a little bit of a reach for me, but I love the way he wrote the book. He told the story so well about how hard it was to become Nike. He was in debt forever.
Yeah.
And it was almost a miracle that Nike made it. It was a cool story. I like the way he wrote, too.
You and Melinda, peas in a pod.
Yeah. For sure. This Cornell death investigation story, did you guys think there was anything to this?
Oh, no. That article's pissed me off, actually.
I was pissed off, too.
Yeah.
I feel like they're suggesting that the guy who busted the doors down did something wrong.
Yeah.
There's that suggestion, which is annoying. He was called by the wife, who knew something was wrong.
Because... he had that app on his phone that turned lights off at their home.
Wasn't that bizarre?
And then he turned them off by remote control, like from Detroit, and then he did it again. And then she was like, oh, something's wrong, and called him.
That is so weird.
Yeah.
But that article's also posing conspiracy theories and a psychic, and it's, I don't know. Anybody just die anymore?
I guess not. No.
You're not even allowed to just die.
Nope. The other thing was implying that he knew about this incredible list of pedophiles or something. Did you see that?
Yeah. Well, in the article, yeah.
What? Are you kidding me?
And that
the Detroit News is printing this shit?
And he overdosed because of that?
No, somebody killed him, I guess.
He died from revealing
These pedophiles. I mean, it's, and they're talking about that pizza joint, aren't they?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. They're the Pizzagate, comic ping pong or whatever.
It's unbelievable.
This is an Alex Jones.
Yeah.
Well, that's a conspiracy theory. So now it's wasting time and wasting space with that.
God, Chris Cornell would be so mad that he was on Alex Jones' show.
Oh, yeah.
As a conspiracy theory.
Him. That would upset him for sure.
Bunch of liberal trendies.
You know, I read or I watched, I just stumbled onto, and this has been out for a while, I guess, the I Am As I Am.
The DJ Adams story.
DJ Adams story. Yeah. DJ AM.
God, that was wild. DJ AM, right.
As I Am, yeah. That was a great story, though.
I agree.
And I didn't know how long it had been there, but I was like, if somehow it was right at the top of the Netflix, you know, choice of movies. And so I'm like, I'll watch this for a little while. It was a great paced movie, great documentary, and such good tunes, too.
Absolutely.
He could take anything and he just like melt it into something else. God, that must have been fun.
Yeah, that was good. I really didn't get the DJ thing at all until I saw that.
Yeah, I know.
I still don't know if he's worth what people, I mean, I guess so. If people go to see that, but. His mother told that story at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
About his father?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. God.
What was it? Refresh me, because I don't remember.
Quick left turn.
Yeah. Go ahead, Trudy.
Oh, well, she comes home one day.
He's in rehab. He's like 16 or 17 in rehab, isn't he? And he wants to go home, and she shows up.
Oh, right. Yeah. Well, the first thing that happens, though, is that she gets married to this guy and they're trying to have babies and they adopt one. And she's like in this blissful state. And then she comes home one day and he's with a dude.
Whoops.
And they're, you know, and she walks in right
doing?
In the middle of it.
They're just hanging out, drinking some beer.
No. And
getting it on. Getting it on.
And so they have an argument and she leaves and then she goes and then she gets knocked up where she was. And so she comes back and she's 9 months pregnant for Adam. And then the guy is with a dude again when she thinks she's going to, like, put their marriage back together or something. Which, by the way, you think after that?
You'd get pregnant by the guy?
Oh, man. And, so anyway. And then she goes, he's not your child or something like that. And his dad is like, well, I don't care anymore. So I hate the child.
Yeah, the guy's out of his life. But then when he's 17 and he's in rehab because he's a teenage druggie, his mother comes. He's hoping she can take me home. Oh, my God, because they're beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, that's
mistreating him.
Place, yeah.
And she says, you're going to stay. They're doing a great job, but I got to tell you something. The man who's your father is gay. He's a dude. And she hadn't really told him about him.
Yeah, I guess.
Didn't really know that much about him. And he's dying of AIDS. And he's in rehab, and he's got to stay there.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
My God.
Crazy.
Who did he think his dad was? Or did he just not know?
I'm trying to remember. Was there somebody she remarried? Stepfather or something?
I don't think there ever was another male figure in his life. But that's pretty brutal.
I think the guy was loosely in his life. Like he sort of. Did he know he was his dad?
They didn't cover.
I don't think they really said.
He was
totally out of his life.
And he was just completely.
It was like, guy's your father. He's got AIDS. He's dying. Sucks. Yeah. You want to call
him
or something?
Yeah, probably die before you see him. Don't even go. Well, by the way, you're in rehab. Good work.
Yeah.
Good job. And they were this place. They would just like beat the crap out of people. It was like Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
All the inmates sort of ran the the rehab program. And people would get out, and the first thing they would do, he went to Knott's Berry Farm.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking he went to Six Flags, but yeah, Knott's Berry Farm, that's right. And, it was Knott's Berry Farm, yeah. And they're like, oh, there's no way anybody will see me here. And sure enough, he runs into one of the fucking counselors there.
Right. All the cops, and the cops arrest him, and then he has to go back to rehab again. Oh,
God.
But, man, Just the, you know, great shit that he did, and then he got straight. He just really like was on everything and crack, and
he helped all those other people get off drugs too. And he's a great guy,
really clean. And then and I love the way he talked about those parties though, because he couldn't give a crap for the Paris Hilton sort of circles.
Oh yeah, I love that.
All of the pretense, and that, you know, Tom Cruise's birthday party, and they're like.
But wasn't he dating?
You DJed Tom Cruise's birthday party? He's like
Madonna's party, right. All that kind of shit.
Yeah, but I don't care about that because I just wanted to just do my thing. And
you wanted the money too, of course.
Wasn't he dating somebody famous?
Yeah, it was Nicole Paris Ritchie? Hilton's friend.
Nicole Richie.
Nicole Richie, he was. Yeah. That's right.
That's weird.
That was a real blip in the documentary, which made me happy, by the way.
Yeah, me too.
A total blip.
Where he was so unimpressed with all of that. He just dug, you know, going to the club and putting this shit together and all of his other DJ friends. And the person in there, though, do you expect to see Red Foo ever again?
No.
LMFAO.
LMFAO, yeah.
Isn't he Barry Gordy's grandkid?
Oh, that's right.
Is he?
Yeah. I think.
I didn't know that.
Song? What was the song that they did?
Party Rockin'.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. They've had a few of them, but one of them, I think, was Barry Gordy's nephew, and the other was his grandkid. They were both offsprings of Barry Gordy.
Wow.
That's where their money came from.
All of this happens to him, and then he's in the plane crash.
Yeah.
Right, with Travis Barker.
Yeah, but he has to fly for his job to gigs everywhere, and he's scared to death, so he starts using Xanax. Hmm.
That was a big mistake, by the way.
Yeah.
After a plane crash, he needed time off, and he was just a go-go guy, and he couldn't stop.
Yep.
And I understand that. I understand how he felt, but unfortunately, he goes into wasn't he smoking crack when they realized something's wrong with Adam?
Yeah, they knew,
And they're knocking on the door, you know, like, Adam, we're coming to get you. You're not going to do this. And he says, give me one more day.
Right.
And he dies that day.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Which, you know, I thought about that and I thought, you know, a guy like that, I mean, we know these stories over and over. Chris Cornell.
Yeah. Benzos, too. Yep. Same thing.
DJ Adam, all these people who they have some kind of hole in their soul like he did.
Right.
And it made me think that he just, he was an unhappy guy. He didn't want to live. I mean, I thought the give me one more day was like, I'm going to kill myself. That's what he was saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought that, but then I was, you know, it's hard to say.
He had so many substances when he died that, man, that had to have been an accident.
What was on the substance list? I don't remember.
Heroin and cocaine. Was it heroin?
I thought it was mostly.
Here's the whole list. Cocaine, oxycodone, hydrocodone, lorazepam, clonazepam, elazerpam. Diphenhydramine and levamisole, which is a drug used to cut cocaine.
Wow. Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Cocaine.
Is heroin in there? Is it one of those names?
Well, oxycodone and hydrocodone.
Yeah, but those are not even like oxycodone, which is stronger.
Well, I mean, if you do too many benzos, you forget to breathe, so.
Yeah.
So, man.
No, there were a lot of PAMs in there, I noticed.
Yeah.
I think PAMs mean sleepy.
PAMs do. The thing
How did Pam's name get in all the sleepy stuff?
I know, poor Pam.
There's some gross chick named Pam. Some
who's always tired.
Or made a guy want to go to bed.
Do you remember?
I'm sleepy tonight.
Do you remember when that plane crash happened, though? We were on the air and we were talking about it. And it was mostly sort of the coverage was about Blink 182.
Oh, yeah. You know? Oh, yeah.
More of them died. Well, half of them died. And then Travis Barker. And then, but
wait,
there was
who
less
died
about,
in that? Who died on that plane?
The two other guys from Blink 182.
They died. Both guys died. The other two other guys died.
Yeah, right. And then Travis Barker and DJ Adam were the only two who managed to.
I knew those two guys were the only ones that survived. But
four
realize,
people who died. So.
I thought the Blink guys were all alive for some
the
reason.
The crash killed both crew members and two other passengers.
Oh, crew members.
Okay.
So I don't know.
I mean, that's not any better. I hate to suggest it. Oh, the Blink guys are alive, so it was no problem. I mean, that's the shitty way to look at
things.
They're
doing fine because they were going to play Fire Festival.
That's what I thought.
Oh,
that's what I thought.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was wondering the other.
They pull out a Fire Festival. 82
still a thing? I don't even hear them anymore. But
no, you really don't. I mean, that's actually that Fire Festival was good publicity for them because I didn't really know what they were.
They did the right thing.
Oh, yeah.
They pulled out.
Yep. And by the way, what's his face? Billy McFarlane got.
Yeah.
What they have to do to bound him out of there? His parents had to put up like $300,000 or something.
Yeah, and he moved back home with his parents, which is the best part about it. He claims they're only really worth like $50,000 now to his name.
What a
bullshit! I think he's hiding money somewhere.
Oh, for sure he is.
Well, it's interesting that I'm trying to figure out how many tickets they sold for that thing. Because why was he borrowing millions of dollars? Because, you know, he was misrepresenting his financial statements to borrow, like, I think it was $2 or $3 million.
Yeah.
And he should have had millions in receipts from tickets. Some people paid $10,000 for tickets to that thing. Plus, at like 2 months beforehand, they said, we got to raise some more cash somehow. Why didn't he all this cash? What's going on? So they sold the food bands or whatever. You know, yeah, put up to 15. This is a cashless concert, they announced.
Ugh.
So get all your money put on these bands, and they raised a couple million bucks that way. And then he needs to borrow more. What is that?
Oh, he's
a scam.
Yeah, a scam.
You know, you got to wonder all these private planes he's taking all over the place. And what does it cost to take a private plane down to the down there,
the Bahamas
every week?
No idea.
It's got to be what? Like
significant.
$5,000? $10,000.
I think it's more like $10,000, $20,000.
$10,000.
Yeah. I mean, depending on what kind of private plane he was taking.
Yeah.
But oh,
well,
God,
nothing but the best for him.
I know. I'm so glad that piece of shit is going under. Jay-Z doesn't seem to be in any. Or wait, Ja Rule.
Ja Rule.
Doesn't seem to be in any.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault. Oh, my God.
I just had $23,000 from New York.
Jeez. Really?
$38,000 to Barbados.
Huh. Bing diddy bong. What is it to Acapulco?
Bing diddy bang diddy bong. whatever that represents.
Wow.
Holy crap.
Because, you know, I have to admit, if I were that loaded, I would love to take private jets. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah. That'd be amazing. I mean, well, we're watching the HBO thing. I'm sorry, I'm moving.
Go ahead.
The next TV.
Defiant ones?
Yeah, that was so
that was cool.
That was kick ass. And I was like, oh my God, Jimmy Iovine's plane is so
I
sweet.
Know.
But HBO, the one thing about watching an HBO documentary, every shot is beautiful, no matter what they're talking about.
I agree. I thought it was really good. The Defiant ones.
Yeah, the Defiant ones.
It was on Dre and Jimmy Iovine. Is part two
part
tonight?
Part two is tonight, Monday night, then 3 and 4, it's every night, four parts.
And it's all about Iovine and...
And Dre and how, even though they're very different, they both follow these similar paths.
How much is there to know about these guys?
Well, number three is Eminem, and isn't it also who they've influenced and who they produced?
Well, remember, Iovine started Interscope. And really went out on the limb for a lot of bands like Marilyn Manson, a lot of the West Coast rap, which Dre really started that.
Just one thing I have to say. Why didn't they spend more time on him being with John Lennon for three albums?
I know.
It was his first job.
Yeah.
And he just fell into it.
I know. That was such a... Mark and I were talking about that before the show.
I imagine they're trying to catch his timeline up to Dre's. You know, because he started in 72. Dre starts in 86, 87.
Well, yeah.
So if the bulk of the story is going to be about them doing Interscope and Aftermath Records and then into Beats, which, do you have Beats by Dre headphones?
No.
I do not.
They are the worst headphones
I've ever heard. That company that
Very
they
bad.
Sold for $3.2 billion is all headphones?
Headphones, or they make the pill, which is like a little Bluetooth portable radio.
That's all they fucking do.
Well, they used to have a music service before they sold to Apple, which bombed.
Yeah.
Why would Apple pay that much money for headphones? That doesn't make any sense to me, does it?
Well,
no.
Well, because their headphones sucked for so long, maybe.
Yeah, that's why.
But
earbuds.
I don't get. I mean, I don't know.
They had a big market share, and it was all marketing. They're garbage headphones. So if you ever see anybody wearing Beats, just point them. Those headphones are garbage.
Is Apple making out on the deal?
I don't know.
I'd love to know.
People wear them because they're trendy, though. I mean,
exactly.
There is that thing, that mindset where I'll get trendy. I don't care if it's quality. And
you piece of garbage.
So.
You know the movie Sleeping with Other People?
Yeah.
Have you guys seen it?
Yeah.
I love
movie.
That movie.
Yeah.
I've seen it like 5 times. I know Mark says I'm watching movies over again. I'm watching this a lot over. I don't know why. I love that movie. I just a bunch of scenes in that movie I just love. And plus, that chick is so cute. What's her name? What's the actress's name who plays Lainey?
It'll come to me. Hang on.
There's just something adorable about her. I
mean, she was in Community.
She'd never go out with
Allison
me.
Allison Brie.
Okay. Anyway, I like her character, too. I think she's really funny. I think I bet a lot of guys watch that movie and are very threatened by her.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
I love her. I think she's totally cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I'd...
Is she unpretentious?
Yeah, I mean, she knows what she wants, and yeah. And you know, she really likes this one guy, and it's cool that she drops everything to go back for him at the end. Uh-huh. Which, like,
spoiler alert,
fuck you. Oh, sorry. A lot of people would say
the movie's been out forever.
I know. You've
already rewatched it 30 times.
I know. A lot of girls, though, at that point would go, "You had a million chances of me. I'm not dropping everything, you asshole." But you know, I thought that was cool. She did want him. It was kind of obvious that they were there was something to it. But
go through some stuff.
Beats by Dre their last year. They had a revenue of $1.5 billion in 2013 before Apple bought them for 3.2.
Well, that was the opening of the very first episode of The Defiant Ones. Is just how rich he was.
Oh, yeah.
When that deal went through, he wasn't supposed to say anything. And
right. That was hilarious. He goes on Facebook like an asshole. Yeah. Dre does. But that's what I was thinking about in Sleeping with the Other People was when they sell their company, you know, to what's her who's his girlfriend when he punches the guy at the end of the movie? She's in a million things. What's her name? Amanda.
Amanda Pete.
Amanda Pete.
Yeah.
Who I think is also adorable.
She's great.
And she's so cute. Anyway, and she's really sexy in that movie. She's just sexy in general.
Yeah, she is pretty.
Anyway, he and his best friend sell their company, and they're like just about to cut the deal, and he starts asking a bunch of questions.
Yeah.
And he's like, just sign the goddamn thing. And I just remember thinking, God, it seems like the people buying the company are always worse off. The guy selling it for a lot of money is the one that always makes out.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that's not true, but when they signed that thing and he's like, oh my God, I thought you're going to blow it. I mean, it doesn't seem like, you always feel like, well, they got the better part of the deal, or why would he say he blew it? Because why would it be so bad to have the company?
Yeah.
If it was worth so much.
Deal has to work for both sides.
Yeah. But obviously his buddy wanted the dough rather than to have the company. And I think, you know, with Beats, I wonder, would Jimmy Iovine, how pissed would he have been if Apple had said, oh, you're on Facebook talking about, deal's off.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine how bummed out he would have been.
Well, it sounds like his goal from the very beginning was to eventually sell it.
Right.
As a lot of companies are. But when they started, that was kind of the goal.
But if it was so damn valuable, why would you want to sell it?
Because people are going to find out what a shitty headphone it was.
Exactly.
Eventually, and they're going to pay that much for it.
I can't believe it's a shitty
$300 for those.
That's really? Yeah. People regularly pay that much money for those headphones?
Yep.
So they can look cool.
Or the earbuds. They're garbage.
Is there a decent competitor out there?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things I was just looking at.
Techniques and LG and like everybody else.
I think the ones we wear are the best, obviously, because why else would we wear anything less? The Sony studio.
These headphones
monitors
are fine for what we do.
These are the best headphones. Honestly.
They don't cost $300.
No, they're about 80, 80, 85.
Yeah. They really
are. Over the ear.
Yeah. But remember Sennheiser's, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They used to be the big broadcast.
Yes.
They were actually kind of a flash in the pan, too, I thought.
Definitely. I agree.
It's feedback. They were all foam.
I always thought I sounded like shit on those headphones. Oh, yeah. I hated them.
Yeah. But, you know, the Bluetooth headsets that you can get, you know, for running and stuff like that, or if you're moving around and walking.
I hate Bluetooth headphones.
What? Why?
Hate them.
I agree.
My God.
Because, you have to charge them up. And if you forget to charge them, you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Whoops. I forgot to charge up my headphones.
Mark, you have to charge everything.
I know. You know what? I'm sick of charging shit.
Yeah, you know, I am too.
We have a mirror at home that has to be charged.
What?
A bathroom mirror.
A mirror?
It doesn't
because it has a light in it.
Oh.
How about a remote control that has to be charged up? That's a disaster for Apple TV.
Oh, yeah.
The remote has to be charged.
That little sucker.
Yeah. Yes. And you're like going, what the fuck is wrong with this Apple TV? Yeah. And it's like, the remote isn't charged. Holy shit.
And, thank you. Thank you, Apple, because their technology is such that they don't tell you when it's getting low.
No.
They only tell you when it's out.
That's what I mean.
It's
the last thing I think of, too. I'm like, oh, this thing isn't set up right. I fucked something up. TV sucks.
Calling Jay. And then Apple comes on the screen with, your remote control needs to be charged. I'm like, thanks for effing telling me.
I don't even think it comes on the screen for me. It comes on the screen?
Yeah, it'll...
Really?
Yeah, it'll pop up.
C-U-M. I have a...
I'm so pissed.
I have a... Apple laptop, you know, and the cord for that. Yeah, because it's so hard to get. The cord for it has been pulled out of the party, and I refuse to go buy a new one. So every time Julie will see me, like, pushing it in. to try and get the light to get extra. Why don't you just buy a new one? And today I snapped one. Because I'm not going to go do it now. I have to make this work right now.
Why would I just
go buy another one?
No, I know exactly.
Bullheaded over the dumbest shit.
Yeah.
She's been giving me a lot of shit over my new cycling hobby.
She should be happy for you. Cycling. Well, no, you mean your bike riding?
No, my cycling hobby. We went to the cycle store and I wanted to.
I thought
to
you were riding a bicycle for a while. I didn't realize it was a motorcycle.
I wanted to buy every accessory. I was telling Drew my bike was going to look like Pee-wee's bike by the time I left because I just wanted to buy everything to put on my bike.
You've got a what kind?
It's just a track. It's just a silly mountain bike.
It's a mountain bike?
Yeah.
For the road?
All right. Wait. It can be a road bike, too.
Cycling a minute ago. Now it's a silly mountain bike? What's that all about?
It's just a bike.
Well, I thought if you had some streamers and, you know.
I know.
Bicycle bells. And
I told her I want to get a big
generator old, lights
a big
and
old
stuff.
Banana seat, some pegs on the back so my friends can stand on the back wheel.
What's the thing, like a monkey, if the thing in the bar on the back where you put your, like, brother or sister?
Spoiler?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, I want to get one of those.
Wait, whatever happened to the generator light, by the way? Remember those?
Yeah.
It ran on the wheel.
Yeah.
Those things were awesome. Why did they go out? What's so bad about
it? It's funny you say that. One of the things I want to get in all seriousness, is a headlight for when I leave here. I know. Laugh at me all you want. But I need a light so people can see. And that fucking thing needs to be charged up too.
Oh, Christ.
Well, maybe you can get the chargeable one that your bicycle, cycle charges while you're cycling.
I know. That's what I would power I would want. But or you can get a battery one. That
you really are a product of Ann Arbor.
You can get put triple A's in it, but apparently that light dies so easily.
Oh, yeah.
So now I don't even know if I want one anymore.
No, you need one. Those are good, though. They really are. Or you can use...
This hobby's out of control. It's been going on for about a month.
Mark,
and it's
do you need...
out of control.
Do you need reflective clothing?
No, I think that's funny. You said, one of my friends was giving me
shit. Thank you, Trudy.
One of my friends was giving me shit for that, and I said, the day I wear spandex while I bike or a helmet is the day I'm stopping.
Oh, yeah.
I will not wear a helmet.
Somebody was giving me shit about not wearing a helmet because I found my bike...
Yeah.
Ooh.
So, you're going to be a cyclist before you know it.
No, not happening.
Yeah.
I rode around a couple blocks. It was some nice exercise.
Starting a gang.
That was cool.
I got a bike.
Let's do it.
A pump was required to pump up my tire, too. The tire was dead, thankfully, because I don't ride. I ride so rarely. But anyway, when I got back, somebody I'm not going to say who, said, where's your helmet?
Oh.
It's like, I'm grandfathered, like that hockey player that played to 2005 with no helmet. I'm like that guy, okay? But I'm only riding a bicycle. I'm not playing hockey. I'm not getting checked into anything every game. That guy was grandfathered as long as he was. I'm grandfathered. End of story. Shut up. Fuck you.
I'm with you.
Zuckerberg, fuck yourselves.
Zuckerberg probably wears a helmet when he cycles.
Go pound on it.
Yeah, I bet his kid. Oh, you know his kid's wearing one.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh boy,
I will nerdiest. Not. Well, why do you need to wear a helmet if you're going as slow as I go? How much damage can I really have
in case a car?
I think that's a challenge for your head in a way.
Joey had a cycling period where
he was cycling. I like that you refer to it as cycling. By the way,
he was all going all over the place, and people are assholes sometimes. And a couple of them
all the time.
And Wes Bloomfield came up behind him and just like. Whacked him in the back.
What?
Driving a car, and he's on his bike. They're just like, whoosh, like, he calls me up, and he goes, somebody's just like, hit me.
What an asshole.
I know.
That's so bad. They're probably going 90, too. It probably was a 90 mile hour punch.
And he could have a red mark on his back of my hand.
For weeks.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Hey, stuff like that happens.
It's interesting, though, that it's cycling when Joey's cycling. It's not quite the same thing for Mark, but I think I agree.
Yeah. Let's get Mark some spandex stuff, though.
No.
Yeah, no, I think we need to suit Mark up.
Only a few other sponsors on it. If there's a Zot and a Roche ad, I will wear it.
Oh, my
just
goodness.
For the pure hilariousness of it.
It would be very funny.
We're going to have to do a merch line. With
extra
our,
small.
Our biking gang colors. You know what I mean?
That's fine with me.
Oh, Lordy.
Cycling.
Cycling.
Sorry. Okay. Let me salute a couple of friends to podcast as I'm yawning.
I need to get the outfit that guy had on Tour de Pharmacy.
Oh, yeah. Which one?
I only saw a little bit of it. I thought what I saw of it was very funny.
Oh, my God.
I fell asleep at the end of the Defiant ones, and then I woke up and Tour de Pharmacy was on.
It's a new Andy Samberg. It's only about 45 minutes long on HBO.
It's
did you see
length.
The bike fight?
No, I did not.
I'll cue it up while you read.
The bike fight. Yeah, I recorded it here.
It was hilarious.
The first scene is Orlando Bloom. I didn't know that was him, but...
I had no idea.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm giving anything away. Where they're
is that really
about.
His dick?
I think so, because I think that's no his new is. Thing.
Well, it was a nice slab of beef, I got to say. I'll give it up for him.
So if you have any sort of need for frontal and comedy about the Tour de France, you should see this because it's really funny.
It's hilarious.
Why would Orlando Bloom? Okay, first of all, we just saw his dick.
He loves showing it, though.
I guess so.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
That's not
didn't
really
think it was getting enough
dick,
publicity.
Was it?
I don't know.
It looked real.
They were showing all is. Kinds of...
Continues to burn up the mountainside. Unbelievable.
He's
Juju
peeing while he's racing.
Oh, that is him. Son of a bitch.
Remember he was in the other one they did about tennis?
So, you know what pisses me off, though, is that they show a dick that's as big as his that we saw when he was with Katy Perry.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They have to have... They had to right-size his dick for this thing that's Tour de Pharmacy. Like, this is a real show.
There it is hanging.
About 12 kilometers.
It's Joe Bunsen.
Look at that bull.
He's dead riding his bike.
He died with his dick
out. That looks...
That's his.
It's not a prosthetic.
Wait a second. That's hard. He's dead and it's hard.
Well, rigor mortis.
I know, he's not dead.
Oh, rigor mortis. Oh, he's not dead, really?
No, I don't think he's dead. I
look at the
he's
coloring
alive.
Differential. It's got to be fake.
It's... weird there is where it is, you know. Like,
this is the first time I've frozen on it, but
it's not real.
Jay's taking a picture for the post.
I'll find another scene for you.
I think he just loves, adores. He demanded to be in this movie so that he could, you know.
I'm beginning to believe
out.
You.
Yeah. I'll show you the fight scene, though. The fight scene killed me.
A bike fight. I can't picture this. It sounds funny, though.
Hilarious.
There are a lot of good people in this.
Read the sponsors because it didn't take me a while.
The Mike
Andy
Tyson.
Samberg has hit the mark lately. What were you going to say, Trudy?
Mike Tyson is in it, and he's hilarious. By the way, he is so funny.
He really
naturally
is.
Naturally funny.
Well, and he makes fun of himself, too.
Yeah, but he was that one-man show was tremendous. He's really talented.
This sounds really stupid, and I feel like kind of a jerk saying this. He's a pretty bright guy.
He is.
He's fairly well-read, too.
Right.
I mean, every time I read about him, I'm shocked to hear, like, that stupid list Mark was reading before. It sounds like something Tyson would read. Those 23 books of Zuckerberg's.
And then he beat the shit out of him.
Hopefully. Yeah, for putting him through those 23 books.
That'd be satisfying for all of us.
All right. David Hall has been a sponsor, been with us just about, actually from the very beginning. And as they say, if you love our podcast, then the one way to support us is to support our sponsors like Hall Financial, who, by the way, I've been talking to lately. About a little credit line for the, you know, the property management business and, you know, fixing up some houses. And they are really good. And I know it's me, so maybe it's a little different. But this is what everyone's been saying to us is that they respond to email. They're really fast. They are. They're really good.
Really?
Yeah. We don't have the loan yet.
That's huge.
I mean, there's no credit line available yet. I shouldn't be so nice yet. But no, I mean, you know, these things take a few days. It's not that easy to set up a credit line. So anyway. I have to get a few more.
Well, it'll be all right.
Get them a couple pieces of paper. It's not being done on trust, put it that way. They're professional, too. Mortgage rates and programs are constantly changing. Unless you're paying close attention, you could be missing out on an opportunity to save some money monthly. Get a credit line. Reduce the interest over the term of your loan or maybe even purchase your dream home. Then make it easy to find out what your payment could be or answer questions if you want to refinance. That's found money. So click the Hall Financial logo on our podcast webpage and fill out the online form. I didn't do that. We just called 248-308-5000 and said, hey, it's Drew from the podcast. We need money. Help.
Cool.
Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. Restrictions
apply.
I'm waiting.
No,
actually, it's been a week or so. A Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender. I'm using all the sponsors, it seems.
Good. See. Everyone should.
I think I might call them up, see what equity I have.
I don't know if I'll be needing Adam today. Oh, boy. Let's see. Getting a divorce is a lot like paying taxes. You have to pay. Well, I guess I have to get married before I need Adam. You have someone trying to take what you've earned, and the more you make, the more you pay. But also like paying taxes, having a professional handling your divorce can save you a lot of headache and a lot of money. Adam, one of the sponsors we hope you never have to use, but by God, if you do, You need them. The American Divorce Association for Men specializes in representing men in divorce. Adam, aggressive, diligent, uncompromising representation for men facing divorce since 1988. Call Adam, 248-356-2326, or visit adamdivorcelaw.com. I got to go to the Kleenex.
Yeah.
You want to show the bike fight?
I want you to see it, so I'll save it.
Okay, save the bike fight. Is there a topic? Hey, Brandon's here.
Hey, how you doing?
Brandon.
Take the microphone for a minute.
I've been here the whole time.
Suggest a great topic.
You could have just Jacina'd your way in, but instead, no.
Yeah, I thought about it, but there wasn't. I didn't hear any topics before I came in.
Wait, what? Didn't he Jacina? Because he didn't act like he'd been here.
No, he didn't start talking. He was introduced.
I just heard the advertisers, and I'm jumping on board too because I've been hanging out at Zotford.
Have you really?
Yeah.
What are you looking at?
I am currently looking at a new truck.
Really?
Oh yeah,
truck.
Yeah, I want a truck.
So is Trudy.
Yeah.
I had a bad incident over the holiday weekend.
What happened? God, you and your car problems.
Oh, Lord. So get this. This is just prior to July 4th. We were up north in Gaylord. We were camping up there and out at Otsego Lake State Park. Everything was going good. I went to leave on Sunday, and I hear...
That's always a great feeling.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to pinpoint the location. It looks right underneath the vehicle. Kind of sounds like my transfer case or maybe my drive shaft.
Ooh. Yeah, right, Roger.
Every single thing is closed this day. It's Sunday. And we're 200 miles from home. But Kristen says, we're going to make it. And so we tried. And we made it. We actually made it home. 200 miles with a nasty sounding transfer case. Problem is, doing that blew out my U-joints and my drive shaft, and so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so my whole truck is...
No.
Wait, this is the replacement truck for the one that went up in flames in your driveway?
Correct.
Whoa.
Good luck.
Oh, no.
So you're going to go for a truck again.
I gotta get this one fixed first, and it's going to cost me a pretty penny. Oh. Very, very expensive.
Really?
Yeah. So maybe another GoFundMe?
They service it up there. Yeah, another GoFundMe. Speaking of GoFundMe, I saw another news story where they started a GoFundMe, and I don't know. I mean, whatever. It just seems everybody's going to start one now. But the story of the kid that got beat up outside of the resort in Greece. Did you see that story?
The guy that got killed?
Murdered. Yeah,
the tall black guy.
Yeah.
I just read something today. This selfie may have caused his death. What was that all about? Anybody know?
I don't know. I still don't know why there were six vacationing. Were they Serbian?
Oh, Serbs, yeah.
Yeah, and then the bouncer, apparently
who was
just
a known
dick. Yeah. just beat the guy up and murdered him. But he has a GoFundMe now, which I thought was kind of interesting.
When you
have the money to travel.
You know, I swear to God,
to
I wondered the very same thing. I really did. It's like, this guy needs a GoFundMe. I wonder that about most GoFundMes. I go, even Brandon's. I go,
well, no, that's how we got on it.
Should I be giving to this GoFundMe? Does this person deserve my money?
Bills is for a good cause. It's going to charity.
What was the charity again? Mention the charity.
It's the National Police Dog Association.
Aw. Yeah. That's right. I remember Bill's little costume and his police.
Aw.
Correct. And so that's going to go towards...
Uniform.
That's going to go towards a great thing.
You know, he looked like he really dug that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you ever get sick of Bill, you can just return him, since that's what all the famous celebrities are doing.
I can tell you, he dresses up very nicely. This is him over the weekend in his
4th of July.
Oh, my God.
Let me see.
Look at that majestic beach.
That poor thing. That poor
cute.
Animal.
Yeah.
What beach is that?
This is Pleasant Lake by Jackson.
Wow, it's pretty.
Yeah.
Hmm. Very nice. He looks pensively off into, over the lake. He's having dog thoughts.
Yeah, wishing that he, thinking about drowning himself because he's being dressed up every day.
What a disaster. Mark, you were about to refer to one of our favorite people who was supposed to leave the country when Trump won, but
still here.
Kind of a joke.
Still here.
What's her name?
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Oh.
She returned her dog after 4 years?
Yep.
Seems like a long time to have a pet.
On late June, she had an Instagram talking about how hard it was to give up this dog named Lambie to...
And keep him.
But she couldn't keep him because Lambie had suffered terrible abuse as a puppy, and having him in a typical home environment was dangerous to him and others. And she and her boyfriend needed to be responsible to ourselves, our neighbors, and especially our beloved dog. And so they're talking about what a disaster this dog is and how there were three previous owners, and apparently she knows... all the background history of a dog she adopted from a shelter.
Give me a break.
Which is bullshit. It doesn't work that way. And she got it from a shelter in Brooklyn, and somebody asked them about it, and they tore her a new ass.
Good.
Oh, I love it.
Robert Vasquez is the guy at Bark Shelter in Brooklyn. He said, we checked our records for Lambie. He was not owner surrendered, not enough time, so we don't know where she got multiple owners that abused the dog, which is what she said.
Really?
At the time of his adoption by Lena Dunham, the dog was nearing 2 years old, so it had no history of being aggressive, according to them. When she adopted the dog from us, it wasn't crazy. I have pictures of the dog loving Lena and her mom, which is weird, because if the dog was abused, it wouldn't be cuddling with her or be in bed with her boyfriend. They put boyfriend in quotes in the pages of Vogue magazine.
Oh, she used her dog?
All the time, yeah. Vasquez says he personally was there the four times Lena visited Lambie prior to adoption. Four times prior to adoption. Because I've been in charge of the dogs for the last 14 to 15 years at Bark. Ooh. If Lambie had a bad past or was abused, do you think we would have adopted him to Lena, knowing she's a star, and put her or the dog in that situation?
Of course, no. Wouldn't send him out with anybody.
We would have told her that the dog had issues. We're a no-kill shelter. We don't lie about the dogs. It's not mentally good for the dogs. I'm looking for the best line here.
So, in other words, the dog hated no one but her.
Yeah, apparently. After living with her for a while, which I could kind of see
if she could wear on you after a while.
The rep ended it by saying, it's hard to believe the dog was nasty when she took Lambie to every green room with her when girls was still a thing 4 years ago.
To every green room? Well, I think I'd be pissed if I was the dog going to every fucking green room.
I just don't like green rooms.
I just love when girls was still a thing 4 years ago. Takes a shot at her.
Is girls over, by the way?
Oh, yeah.
I got to tell you, I watched, I don't know why, I guess it's funny how that show sort of sucked me in. And I'm not going to say it was a bad show, because I don't like Lena Dunham, and I'm not a big fan of Lena Dunham off the air. I thought she,
if she was
responsible for all that show, I thought overall it was a pretty funny show. I just thought it was absurd that these good-looking guys would be so into her. That was the part of the show that was stupid.
Yeah. Well, her character...
And she'd be nude, looking as unattractive as a woman can possibly look, and this super studly guy is, like, dying to have to, you know, be the father of her baby. It was just weird.
No, silly.
Adam Driver?
Yeah, as if.
Really? Come on.
No, the whole last season was ludicrous.
If I was Adam Driver, I think he was in a position to say, I think we need another... script direction.
Yeah.
It's absurd. I would never.
Her real life boyfriend, though, is that Jack Antonoff dude.
Is he a good looking guy?
He's
a little nerdy, but
Let me guess. He's better looking than her.
He could do better, but.
He's a really talented songwriter.
He's very successful.
I don't know why he'd settle for that slob.
He was in the band Fun, which had a lot of Grammy success, but he wrote Taylor Swift's album. He wrote Lorde's new album. He writes a lot of albums for people. And they did a story on him on the Old Man Show.
Yeah.
And they talked to Lena Dunham for about 20 seconds, and she said the most annoying thing. She said, women artists like working with Jack because he's not some kind of sleaze. He's just there for the art, and they know it. And I'm like, fuck you. Now you're painting every male
producer
and musician as a sleaze who just want to hit on chicks.
Yeah.
And who the fuck hits on her? Honestly. I'm serious. Who would hit on her? None of those guys. They wouldn't. There's no sleaze bag that would go, oh my God, Lena Dunham, I got to have that. She's got to be the ninth best looking chick in any room. At best. I mean, if there's. I hate to be that rude, but I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Maybe if you.
It's your turn,
like,
that dog. It was mean.
If you went. That was mean.
Poor dog.
The dogs, you know, they're like very pack oriented. They are socialized. You have a pack of dogs.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Would you ever?
I couldn't. I think about them. Saying it out loud hurts even more. Whenever I think about like how old they are, like pretty soon the dogs now will be about the same age.
Oh, wow.
That's 7 years a year, right?
Yeah.
So I thought it was bumming me out because I'm like, they're going to start speeding ahead of me in age. And then, isn't that terrible? Yeah, it's my dog. I want him to last as long as I do. And, you know, if that happens, that means I'm dying really young.
Well, here's the thing you need to do, okay?
That sucks.
God forbid.
We had a similar thing with our cat because our cat's oh boy, how old is Ash now? She's probably 12 years old, 13 years old.
It's tough, you know. I remember putting Ned to sleep. That sucked.
And Ashley's a big cat. She's a little hefty. But we started noticing, it's like, oh man, she is just not around very often.
Yeah.
What is going on with her? So we took her in, and everything's fine. She actually lost some weight, and everything's great. All the blood work looks excellent. So now Julian, like, oh, she just hates being around Charlotte and me and just do whatever Charlotte and I am around. If Julie's by herself, the cat has no problem.
A three-year-old could be very tough on a cat.
Oh, she loves that thing, though. Yeah. She's constantly...
Yeah.
But it's just funny. It's like, oh, that's really interesting. She just...
I know, that's funny.
Spike has a no toddlers policy.
I remember when Ned got diabetes, and so I had to give him a shot every day.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember thinking as they were explaining this to me, I was like, okay, who's going to give Ned the shots? And I don't know why I thought, it's going to be somebody besides me, because... It was my cat.
Yeah.
It was totally my cat. Yeah. And I was just thinking, who am I going to get to do this? Let's see. Could I get somebody, an intern or something? I mean, like all these things going on in my head. I was like, I can't possibly give a cat a shot every day. There's no way. And anyway, I learned to give him a shot and kept him around for a couple of years. And it was obvious he was just not happy. And so I took him in. And I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with Ned. And they're like, Ned's, I don't know how to say this, but I think Ned's probably past his expiration date. He's not very happy.
Harsh way to put it. You know, it's like an Obama death panel.
It was like
grandma's past her expiration date.
I think they said he probably doesn't feel. He probably doesn't feel very good. He's not in very good. I mean, they weren't rude about her, mm-hmm. And so it was literally decided on the spot. I was like, "Are you saying you want to put him down?" They said he really should go down, and it was like, "Oh no!" And like. You know, you got the cat in there. The cat's shedding like crazy because it's at the vet. It hates
Ned
it.
Ned was a shedder.
Like, oh, yeah, Ned was a shedder. He was.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I know.
Sucks. Think of all those wonderful years you had with him.
Yeah. You know,
that was cool.
They have to stop coming up with new dog breeds and come up with a genetic way to extend their lives so that they can spend more quality time with us.
I like that.
You know?
I mean, this is painful. All these dogs. I mean,
remember,
if you live to be 80 or something, you could have 6 or 7 dogs.
Yeah, that's how the old saying goes. God kills a dog and then gives you a new one. I mean, basically, if a dog dies, you can go get a new one. One door closes, another one opens.
That's true.
Yeah.
Now you can get a new puppy.
Hey,
still love those dogs.
I was trapping animals over there.
Oh, no.
What were you doing?
Trapping animals.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Actually,
what'd you do?
What did you trap? What was that thing?
It was a groundhog.
A groundhog.
Oh, gross.
This groundhog has been living at my house. And you know what? I saw little cute pictures of people with groundhogs that they were feeding cupcakes to and stuff like that. They looked adorable.
It wasn't at your house.
Didn't look that cute.
This asshole, you couldn't really negotiate with him about, you know, eating all of the plants that we're trying to grow, like the tomato plants and stuff like that. And by the way, he waits until it's ready.
Oh, of course.
And you're I'm going to pick that the next day. And he's had it.
Don't show yourself in that environment.
So like 3-4 years. And the other day I walk out and Joey's been like putting this trap out. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. He went in for kale.
Really?
Whoa.
Kale sucked him in.
Really?
You'd think that would be the least of things, but.
What a elitist groundhog.
I know. First of all, one reason to hate him. It was sad, though, because he had this little look on his face like, oh, man, I knew.
Well, then, you know, there's only one thing to do, and it's to get out the boombox and play some Kenny Loggins. Then he'll get up and start dancing.
Hell yeah.
I've seen it on TV. I'm all right.
I know that groundhog paid no price for this either. You let the groundhog go, didn't you?
I did, but not near our house.
Did you drive away?
He drove a little ways off into the country, and then he went free.
How far?
5 miles. Say go 10.
Not coming back.
Say go 10. But I can hear him in the trunk going.
Oh, Jesus.
Get out. So.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
How long would a groundhog live? I wonder.
I don't. This one has lived forever. I remember Pepper got in a fight with it at our compost. By the way, I used to compost stuff.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I hear, you know, Pepper barking and this weird bark. I walked out and he's in a fight with the groundhog.
Oh man!
Wow.
Pepper was a chow.
You know, that groundhog wouldn't live very long if you just left it in the cage, put it in a garbage bag, and threw it in a dumpster.
I know, I couldn't do that. We have neighbors. They would have seen
this. Oh, they lived to about 3 years old.
Really?
Some can go 9 to 14 years.
Whoa.
I guess if they have a great diet, like somebody's garden.
Like the kale.
and have this nice, safe, warm burrow underneath my house that he's tunneling, I'm sure. I figure one day it's going to fall in.
Isn't that the worst when you discover there's some critter that is clearly under your deck or something? I remember that in West Bloomfield. In West Bloomfield, there's a lot. I mean, you see deer out in West Bloomfield, which is weird. In the yard, like two deer, two giant. And I'm like, what the? Anyway, saw two deer in Mike Clark's yard, by the way, about 2 weeks ago.
Really?
Wow.
Huge. Yeah, I was like, oh, my God. I told him, and he was so fired up, even though he didn't see him.
In his own yard?
Yeah, they were in his own yard, and he totally missed it, but he was still excited. anyway, I tried everything. Somebody suggested flooding under the deck, and it's like, what's under the deck? I don't care. I'll let the hose go for hours. And I did. It's going for hours and hours and hours, and no, it doesn't come out. Doesn't come out. And they said, yeah, but it'll be a very unpleasant place to go into as well, so that'll be that. And I was like, oh, well, I guess I got rid of it. And I filled in the area, and sure enough, it's dug out. It's, as soon as it dries up, it's dug back out again.
Of course. Yeah.
And one day, I never saw what this fucking thing was, but I'm like, that thing is huge, whatever it was. And one day I was on the balcony over the deck, and I'm looking down.
the addition to the West Bloomfield house.
And I see this giant fucking thing. So gross. I'm like, what is that thing? I don't even know what it is. What is it? It was so big. Yeah. I swear it was just huge, and it was just like warbling across the yard under the deck. I didn't even know what the fuck. What is that?
It's got to be a groundhog.
Groundhog, I guess. Just a fat one. Fucking groundhog.
Uh-huh.
Huge. It was so big. I was freaked out. I didn't want to ever be in the yard again.
Yeah. Oh, I don't blame you.
I mean, honestly, if I'd been in the yard when it happened. Whoa.
What happened?
Brandon, where'd you see those deer?
Oh, these are in my backyard almost every day.
What?
Yeah. I have a family who come through every now and then.
Why did deer love your house so much?
I have no idea. My neighbors have an apple tree. So.
There's like eight deer.
Yeah, there's packs of them. Wild ones. Yeah. Bucks, too.
Jesus.
Big bucks.
Yeah. During hunting season,
there were
too.
Bucks in Clark's yard. Those were bucks.
Wow.
That's what completely flipped me out.
I saw one outside my window one day, and it leaned up, you know, like Bambi looked in the window. I was like, oh, how cute. And then it reached out and ate the flower. Tiger lilies. And I was like, oh, you asshole.
All assholes.
Dick move.
Animals are great when they're not in your yard or around your house. They're fine.
That's why I really
They're
really
wonderful.
They eat my hostas.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. They love hostas.
Yep.
Regarding groundhogs and moles, my parents get them around their house. So my dad has a hobby of dropping gummy bears in the hole.
Oh.
And apparently they'll eat it, but they can't digest. They'll eat it because it's sweet and sugary, but they can't digest it. So they just blow it up and die in the hole.
Wow,
so
really?
That's apparently a hobby of a 70.
Wow. Well, that's like
72-year-old man walking around dropping gummy bears in holes. And he likes doing it.
That stuff we were doing with the rat poison was something that dehydrates them to death.
Yes.
And they leave the house. They get the fuck out of the house to go get some, you know, something.
Water. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they die outside your house. It's like, nice. Ah, oh, there he is.
Gross rats.
I know. Disgusting. That was a one-time thing.
Right. Yeah, I know. I got a little bit of flack. Well, some of the flack was from you.
Yes, of course.
You're letting those go, aren't you? Like, you're afraid I was going to kill it. I wanted to. I shot one once.
I didn't think you would. You what?
I shot. Well, there are a couple of them that live around there. And one day I was like, okay, I'm going to shoot it. And I never thought I would. I had a BB gun and I aimed it out the window and shot it. But it was so fat. It kind of went, and then it ran and it was fine.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I would have had to shoot it like
actually hit it
10 times. I would have had to shoot it 10 times in the same place for it to die. It was just.
Did it come back?
You know what that reminded me of?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
I think.
I've been shot.
I think I told this story once. This friend of mine got a BB gun. This is why don't ever get your kids BB guns. It's such a bad idea. They're just going to shoot out streetlights or, I mean, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
So we're, of course, in his bedroom shooting at cars on a really busy street in front of his house just to hear the ping. Because it's so much fun to hear the ping, and then you see the brake lights, and it's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. Well, like the second car he shoots at, we just see this window shatter.
Oh.
We're like, oh, my God. And so we, like, ran up in the balcony. Or, no, we ran up in the attic, and we're, like, hiding in the attic. I mean, for probably hours. And every now and then we just peek out the window, and this car would pulled over, and everybody's looking around, you know, what the hell? What they had no idea what happened.
Hopefully they had good insurance. It's only $100.
I'm sure they had wonderful insurance. I'm sure it covered it. And
You hid in the attic. How long did you stay up there?
For a long time. I have a better story about hiding in an attic. So a friend of mine who had this really kind of narky next door neighbor who was older. And this is when we were smoking a lot of pot, you know, teenage years and stuff. I'm trying to think if I can send a signal to my sister, Danny Geo. Danny was getting high with his friend Dave, of the younger of the Hartong boys, Patty. And
talk about narc.
And they saw a guy from next door coming over, and he was a couple years older, and we used to call him Fergie because he was a big Cubs fan, and he pitched like Ferguson Jenkins. He modeled himself after him. He wasn't as effective, but he liked him. Anyway, he was a total narc. So they freaked out. They were totally paranoid. They ran up in the attic, and they were up there for like hours. And just when they were getting ready to go, oh, I think we're okay. Because this guy would come in and help him. They were the kind of neighbors that would just walk in each other's houses. Oh. They hear him walking up the stairs of the attic. And he's like, oh. What the hell are you doing up here? Smells like pot in the house. But they were up there for like the longest time thinking, oh, there's no way he's here. And sure enough, he was walking up the attic stairs.
Oh,
and
my
and
God.
He busted him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I can't believe he just walked into the house and up the attic stairs.
I know. Well, he smelled the pot and he knew they were there. And, you know, he was the busting type.
God. We had a next door neighbor who did that all the time. A friend of my sister's, and my mother was so mad at the whole thing.
Well,
she would
always
just secretly piss and moan about it. Like, she calls me mom. That's right in the house. She never would address it, but.
Yeah, I know. That's a tough one.
Yeah. And Nancy was just being Nancy, but whatever.
I remember when I lived with my brother in Ann Arbor in the college years. We were having a party, and it was late, and the cops rolled up. And it's crazy. I turn around, everyone's gone, so I'm the only one standing outside. So I'm the one that had to go to court. Turns out my brother ran to the attic to hide.
Sweet.
Ran
good
to the
move.
Attic.
Yeah.
Well, for him.
Yeah.
But honestly, it was like I'm sitting there on the road. I'm like, oh, wow, here come the cops. I turn around. No one is there anymore. Everybody ran inside, most people, to the attic room.
Man, who had these attics that you could get up into?
You know, big-ass house, man.
That reminds me of a great
people living in it.
A great Jim Irsay story.
Yeah.
The Colts owner who I grew up near. I mean, not because I was a rich kid, but he had a pool and everybody loved Jimmy because he had a pool. And because if you went over to his house and you spent the night, and he'd have like seven guys overnight every night. And I swear to God, the, what would you call Audrey? Audrey was an African-American man who took care of business around the house and pretty much lived there. And he would
Butler.
Call, he would, yeah, he was more than a butler. He was a chauffeur, butler.
Benson.
He was everything. And he didn't have the greatest reading because they used to deliver their paper, and he used to ask me to read Mrs. Irsay's notes to him when I got to the door. Hey, Andy, could you help me with this note? I go, oh, yeah, Audrey. It says, yeah, Audrey, you didn't clean up the oven last night. Clean it up now! You know, they'd be really rude notes, and I actually started sort of cleaning them up for him, you know, because it was embarrassing.
Editing?
Yeah, I was like 11 years old. But anyway, Audrey would call in on the intercom and go, hey, Jim, how many got in there today? And Jim'd be like, I got two or three. You go, what'd that mean, five or six? Because his parents were always out of town, so he ruled the roost, you know, and you go, oh, okay, how about steak and eggs, Odd, in 20 minutes? And you go, all right, coming up.
Oh, my
and
God.
Steak and eggs, 20 minutes.
Oh. I mean,
it was ridiculous lifestyle. Anyway, Jim Irsay, speaking of throwing shit at cars, we used to throw water balloons at cars.
Yeah.
It's great fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, and the whole point is somebody will chase you eventually, and that's the whole fun. So we're all running, and I was pretty fast, so I got up over this fence. Actually, I think it was into his yard, and a couple other guys did, and Jimmy was the slowest. He was a little heavy at the time. Anyway, this guy who was climbing the fence in front of him, he pulled him down so he could climb over.
Hey, his house.
And the other guy got caught.
House rules. Did he say house rules as he pulled him down?
No, he didn't, but there were some major home cooking in all sports at his house.
Oh, that's funny.
So, yeah.
Regarding
unforgettable.
Regarding Audrey, when I went to the Tigers game over the break, thank you, Drew.
Sure.
And I'm on the elevator. We're on the elevator riding down. And, you know, they have an attendant at the elevator. Ooh. And she's employed. This guy walks, an elderly black gentleman walks in. He's like, how you doing, to the operator? She goes, good. How are you hanging in there? It's really hot out. He goes, man, they got me working like a Hebrew slave.
Whoa.
What? I wanted to start laughing out loud. He's like, you know, they build the pyramids. And in my head, I'm going, well, he's factually correct. But I thought it was, I'm sitting there going, is that racist? For him to say that?
No, he's historically
correct. Well, I thought it was interesting he chose a specific kind of slave
as opposed to say they had me working like a slave. They had me working like a Hebrew slave.
Right. You know, I think everybody is too bent out of shape over what people are saying these days. I mean, it's really...
I'm sure this man did not care about being labeled a racist because he's probably had enough shit thrown at him in his life. But I honestly, my first reaction was to laugh out loud. He said Hebrew slave.
You know, I had an interesting reaction reading this Otis Redding book because Otis was... killed in a plane crash in 67, mm-hmm. December of 67. Dock of the Bay came out like a month and a half later. It was his biggest hit, of course.
Sitting on a cock because I'm gay.
Yeah.
Always.
No.
Anyway.
No, I'll never think of it the same way again.
Oh, no, you won't.
Yeah, that's the, wait, that's Louis C.K.'s bit. Yeah. That's right. Anyway, just reading about racism in 1961, 2, 3.
Yeah.
What it was like then in the American South. He was from Macon, Georgia.
Ugh.
And just the bullshit he had to go through and all those performers and the Booker T and the MGs, although Steve Cropper was white and Duck Dunn was white. Mm-hmm. Those guys are amazing. I forgot how many songs Steve Cropper wrote.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote, you know, well, Dock of the Bay, he's got credits on. 6, 3, 4, 5, 7, 8, 9. Land of a Thousand Dances, Wilson Pickett. I mean, Steve Cropper has major songwriting credit. I mean, songs that everyone knows. And I don't think he gets the kind of due he should, or any of Booker T's guys. But nonetheless, and the Bar Keys were this high school band guys. The Booker T and the MGs were so big in Stax, which was Memphis's label. And, you know, Motown gets all the credit for 60s soul. Stax was great.
Oh, yeah.
Stax had Sam and Dave and Isaac Hayes and Dave Porter, who was Dave of Sam and Dave.
Yeah.
Isaac Hayes and Dave. So Hayes Porter, you'll see that on a lot of great songs in that period. Those guys wrote so much. And also Cropper and Redding. And Otis was a smart guy. He wrote a lot of songs. He toured like a madman. But anyway, just looking at racism back then and thinking about how little you heard of. Well, I mean, there was a lot of course, effort to root out racism and, you know, voting rights acts and things like that in the 60s. You heard about all that stuff, but you didn't hear people complaining about racism when I was a kid like you do now. Nothing.
I'm not a racist.
Like and it wasn't that I was... That's
kind
I'm saying,
of the way it is.
There's no racism now. What's everybody bitching? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you hear so much complaining. And I'm not saying complain. I don't mean you're just a complainer if you feel you've been, you know, if you feel you've been a victim of racism. I'm just saying it's such a... The voice is so much louder now. And to think what those guys went through. Otis Redding is a fantastic performer. Can't get a fucking hotel room. Can't get seated at a restaurant.
Yeah.
He's playing these gigs that, you know, are 5,000 people are going to.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can't get served.
Right. Baseball players, too.
Yeah, baseball players. Hank Aaron, Ernie Banks, Willie
Mays.
Stay
the same hotel.
All those guys. Yeah, that was amazing. I mean, that blows my mind. And there were a lot of guys who stuck up for him, too, who were really cool, including Phil Walden, who ran Stax. And later ran Capricorn, which the Allman Brothers were on.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy, actually.
Labels.
Yeah, Otis's net worth, $10 million. That's got to be today. Wow. I think he died worth about $1 million. He was a smart guy. He did a good job with his money. And I tweeted out his performance on Ready, Steady, Go, which is the coolest thing about reading this book, was finding 23 minutes of Otis Redding on Ready, Steady, Go with Eric Burdon and Chris Farlow, who had a big hit with the Stone song, Out of Time.
Oh, holy crap.
Yeah, but Burdon sang Hold On, I'm Coming in the middle of Otis's set and just killed it. And Otis sang Shake, Satisfaction, Respect. Otis wrote
Respect.
Are
you mad I didn't say C-U-M? Is that why you're looking at? That's why you're looking at me? I knew that's why.
Sorry.
I was going to let it go.
Did you know Otis Redding wrote Respect?
Yeah, no.
He put it out first, too, before Aretha.
Before Aretha got it?
Yep.
He gave it to her?
Yep.
Wow.
He also did Satisfaction, the Stone song, which he had a big hit with. I'm trying to think what else he sang on the show. He sang like six songs, and they were just killer. And the energy is this was the greatest clip. Well, I got a lot of response to it on Twitter because people were watching it, and there's a few disputes going on. I mean, silly stuff, but
what?
Just, you know, was Elvis better than Otis? You know, silly stuff like that.
Oh,
which is, you know, I mean, not really not comparable.
It doesn't even seem like the same kind of music to me.
Yeah, you know, I don't really like the argument because Otis wrote songs. Elvis didn't write songs. You know, in fact, it got to become an interesting conversation because, you know, John Lennon used to say Elvis was dead after the Army. Elvis went in the Army in 61, came out of the Army in 63, hooked on barbiturates, and did movie soundtracks for the next 6 years.
Right, yeah.
The most important years of his career, he did those stupid movie soundtracks and those stupid movies. And then there's Eric Burdon. Give me some volume on that. I love that voice.
Have horns.
That's the Bar Keys, who were high school kids in the high school band.
Wow.
Otis would take them on the weekend to gigs.
Really?
Yeah. And they died in the plane crash with them.
Oh,
one of them lived. One lived.
What did he ever do?
Did a lot, actually. Yeah. This guy was in, it was December 8th in Wisconsin, in a lake in Wisconsin. The water was so cold. They were diving, you know, to find Otis, try to rescue somebody. The divers couldn't stay in the water more than 15 minutes or they'd die.
Oh.
It was that cold. This fucking guy in the Bar Keys hung on to something for 20 minutes.
Holy crap. Oh.
And tried to unbuckle other guys from the band that were in their seats and were knocked out.
Oh, my God, he was
out.
A hero.
That was an amazing, incredible story.
To be in a plane crash and then into water, a body of water, to be
that
so unlucky.
Cold.
To...
That's December 8th in Wisconsin.
Jesus.
Okay, Otis is about to come back, I think.
His name was Ben Colley, the guy that survived.
That's right.
Wow, Eric Burdon is...
isn't he awesome?
He's got a great bio,
what
too.
What a fucking voice.
You know.
Crank him, Jay.
House of the Rising Sun, everybody knows, but...
It's My Life?
Yeah.
Don't Bring Me Down?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris Farlow. You skipped Chris Farlow. I mean, he's okay, but... Just want to see when Otis comes back. There's Otis.
Oh, wow. Da, 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 da. Look at the chick dancers, man.
They're really good. This is Ready, Steady, Go. He described his style. Otis couldn't dance, but he marches. He does.
He does. A little hip action. Wow, that was a sweet set.
Why are there no shows like this anymore?
Because everybody's a YouTube performer.
Yeah.
I guess so. The way he sings Satisfaction, by the way, the words are totally, he totally destroys the words.
Oh, no kidding.
Completely different.
Speaking of YouTube performer, did you ever watch the new Super Sweet 16 with the twins?
No, I did not. I have it recorded. I will watch it.
Okay.
The funny thing about
they might be the worst.
Really? I can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Their brother is boxer Danny Garcia, so there's a lot of money.
Oh, gross. Well, those are always the best ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, the show aired at 6 p.m. in England.
Wow.
From 64 to 67, I believe it was. And it was like at 6 p.m. on Friday, you watched Ready, Steady, Go, and then you went out.
Oh, really?
Because it was for kids, you know, it was for people who love music. Goes into Land of a Thousand Dances by Wilson Pickett.
Yeah, Michigan Band does a great version of this song.
They do!
When everybody's dancing in the third quarter.
Yes.
It's that song.
But what's funny is, Otis, you know how like James Brown had the thing with the guy that did put the robe on him or whatever?
Yeah.
When he was done? The guy who did it for like 40 years. Otis leaves the stage while the Bar Keys are still cranking, you know, like he's done. And then he comes back,
sweet.
And he sings another verse, which is the same verse he just sang. And then he leaves again, and we're like, oh, my God, Otis, ah! And the Bar Keys are still cranking. And Otis comes running back and does another verse. It's really funny.
Wow. I never understood why James Brown had to throw the cape off, and the guy had to put it back on him, and then he'd throw it off again. And
what did he make for that gig? I mean, really, I'm
too
dying
much.
To know.
Whatever it was too much.
Well, it was part of this. It was part of the gig, though.
Yeah, it was maybe a union gig, possibly. Physicians union,
personal valet.
Yeah, right.
Wow. Anyway, it was really cool just to see this clip. I swear to God, this made the whole book worthwhile for me, just to see Ready, Steady, Go.
The clip is great, too, because people are dancing in front. Like, they've got the camera and the people who are doing the Watusi.
That's way better than any Zuckerberg book.
The Ready, Steady, Go dancers, yeah. The Ready, Steady, Go dancers are kick-ass, too.
Oh, yeah.
Good-looking
yeah.
girls. And Eric Burden, his first appearance without the animals.
Ooh, yeah.
That's what they said.
He was talented all on his own. I mean, were the animals anything beyond without him?
Chaz Chandler was in the animals, wasn't he?
Oh, Chaz Chandler.
Yeah, and he produced Hendrix. And, right. But what a lot of people, I think, miss about this whole stretch and Stax and Booker T and the MGs, mm-hmm. which were the house band for all the Stax artists. Yeah. Motown had the, what was the movie called, about all their musicians? Remember, it's about James Jamerson on bass guitar. And who McCartney thought was the greatest bass player.
You're going to have to think of it because my phone won't go there anymore.
The movie came out like 10 years ago. On all the Motown
backup,
house
the
band.
The backup band, yeah.
Yeah, they played on
like
everything.
The Wrecking Crew, but yeah.
Yeah, the Wrecking Crew was the L.A. version.
Yeah, but it was Motown.
But, you know, James Brown, Otis Redding, and I'm trying to think, there's a couple other guys who are classic band leaders. Bruce Springsteen is kind of a band leader now.
Yeah.
But, you know, they'd find the guys if they missed notes, and Otis had a real ear for...
Funk Brothers.
Oh, Standing in the Shadows yeah. of Motown. Yeah, the Funk Brothers, of course. James Jamerson's the one I always hear about, the bass player. Supposed to be. Everybody loves his bass playing on all those old Motown records. But... there's really no, but is there anybody like James Brown or Otis Redding that, you know, the classic band leader of that period, you know, who just would carry travel with a full complement of horn players and.
No.
You mean today?
Work them out. Yeah.
No, not really.
No.
And find the shit out of them.
Well, you might scoff. Timberlake did that with the Memphis band that he did. There's a documentary on that. He's a soul singer. I'm just saying.
Well, but that's a one-off kind of, isn't it? I mean, isn't the legacy of some of these performances that they would?
I don't want to compare him to that.
It's
but
a stretch
that's
to say Bruce Springsteen, but he is a band leader. I mean, very much from reading, especially after reading his book. I mean, that band was his band, and he ran that band through the paces.
Yeah.
And when somebody fucked up, they paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But James Brown was notorious. I mean, he was really, if your shoes weren't shined, if you had a spot on your shirt, I mean, any little thing, James Brown would kick your ass.
He was clinically insane.
He was a nutcase, but he was hilarious.
Yeah.
How could you not love a guy who shot up a bathroom because he thought somebody used his personal bathroom, and so then, he shot up an insurance agency.
He drove an F-150
on
his rims.
That's right, and got out and did his Goodfoot dance when the cops finally caught up to him.
Plus, he had that infamous appearance, Dad, where you at? On TV. One of the funniest TV appearances of all time.
I think we should see that one more time. That was fucking hilarious.
What was that? What was the name of that show?
It was TNT, wasn't it?
Well, it was definitely a CNN.
CNN,
was
yeah.
Her name began with an S. She had a talk show.
Let me do a read while you're looking for it. Sonya?
Sonya, yeah, Sonya Live.
How do I remember that?
Sonya, oh my God.
Is Sonya still around?
No. She retired after the James Brown appearance. I don't
she
blame her. Everything.
She was never going to top that.
No. All right, it's ready.
I just got to mention Zot Jeep because we all know our friends at Deals in the D have some of the best deals in Metro Detroit. And, you know, if they have some of those new Ram crew cabs, they're selling them for $159 a month. If there's any left, because remember, they were going to kill them all. And I don't know if they killed them or if they kept them around. I'm not sure what's going on. I got to catch up on this. Mm. This is a loaded four-wheel drive Bighorn with heated seats, backup camera, even has a heated steering wheel. Make sure you mention your friends from the Drew Mike podcast. Take advantage of the amazing deals at Zot Jeep. On M59, and they were looking for homes for all those beautiful trucks. Check out dealsinthed.com. Find your new Ram today. And also, don't forget our new sponsor, Tad Klimek. If you have financial problems and are considering bankruptcy, you need to talk to Tad. He specializes in personal restructuring known as Chapter 13, 15 years practicing bankruptcy law. Klimek Law is a small firm that offers personal attention and solutions for your debt problems. You'll work personally with Tad, and he will be at all your hearings. Tad treats his clients the way he would treat a friend. Chapter 13s are different. They last up to 5 years, so you got to have a relationship with your attorney. That's what Tad promises, so, hey, hold him to it. check it out. If you're having problem, this kind of problem, this is a great place to start, because this is one thing I notice about the podcast. People that go from the podcast, these advertisers feel very sincere about wanting to make sure they make you happy, and you want to keep us around, and they're the people to help us keep us around. So it's a beautiful little circle. It's working fine. Tad's now part of the circle.
Aww.
Before you declare bankruptcy, know all your options by speaking with Tad Klimek at the Klimek Law Office. The people at Zot are amazing. Yeah. I mean, they're incredible. They want to go and talk to Steven. Hey, thanks for supporting the podcast.
Okay, he's part of the entourage.
Part of the circle. Right. Yeah, big cool. Part of the circle.
Ready?
And I have an Explorer drive tonight.
Nice. That
is this from CNN? Sweet.
It's James.
Brown denies he was released yesterday on $15,000 bond. He joins us from Atlanta to discuss the charges, and we welcome you, James Brown. How did all of this trouble begin?
Living like in America.
His glasses what? Look like
nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong at all.
Safety glasses.
Any difficulty? But you're out on bond.
No, I'm not.
Have all the charges been dropped?
Yeah, I'm out on love.
Well, I'm out on love.
Are you out on love or out of love? Which is it?
Out on love. Alone from night to night, you find me.
Now, James, this isn't the first time you and your wife have had a problem. Are the two of you going to be able to work this out?
Let's talk about some music.
You want to talk about music and you don't want to talk about what happened?
No, it's all over.
Well, let's talk about your tour. When are you leaving?
We're leaving tomorrow.
And where are you going?
Rio de Janeiro and São Paulo.
Now, your fans will have read all about this, James. Aren't you concerned about that?
No, the Catamucci. No. What? I'm concerned because there's nothing wrong.
I'm concerned because
And what
nothing.
Are you going to say to your fans when they ask you some questions about it?
I'm going to say, I feel good.
He just
I've got a brand new bag. It's a man's world.
Well, that's the second time we've heard that in 2 days. That's very interesting. Now, don't leave us, James. You stay right there.
I'm not going
to
leave
out. We have to talk about.
You borrowing Kareem Jabbar's glasses for this?
What'd you say?
What are you going to be doing on this tour?
I'm going to be doing Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, Living in America, Sex Machine, Get Up Off of That Thing. I Feel Good. Jam.
Now, I understand that you have already... James, I have to ask you one serious question here. I understand you already have started divorce proceedings. Does that mean that you're now eligible?
I'm single. I want to mingle.
You want to mingle?
Yeah.
Now, the women love you when you get out there. Why do you think that is?
What'd you say?
The women love you when you get out there.
Why is that, ladies?
Well, I'm asking you.
Huh? Because I look
good. Why do you think that is? You
look good. I smell good. I yes. feel good.
And you sing good.
And make love good.
Oh. Yeah. Well, there we are. We don't have to ask anybody else. We got that from the source. There you are. Now, you're involved in publishing a gospel magazine. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Second Coming. It's
great job, Sonia, on that interview.
George's ankle. Joseph P. Young is the editor. And James Vine is one of the advisors. And we're doing a fantastic job. The Second Coming, it features...
We talked to him once or twice.
I think we have the Pope.
Once
that I And I believe the Williams brothers.
What?
Mm-hmm. And next week we're going to have...
His daughter set that up or something with us?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I remember this fucking insane.
And we're doing a lot of good things, and hopefully we'll get Brother Ted Turner on the cover. Ted, where you at?
James, we want to thank you for being with us today
Wait
and giving
minute,
us an
I
opportunity.
Got
is there something more you want to say that we haven't covered?
Yeah, I want to say a lot of things.
Okay, go ahead.
I love America. I love everybody. Well, I feel good.
It sounds to me as though you're not troubled by any of this at all.
This is a man's world.
Thanks for reminding
Sonia,
us of
Sonia, keep
that.
A mind.
Every once in a while, we forget.
Get up
on we've remembered that. Again. James, good luck on your tour. Thanks for being with us. I guess we're going to hear lots more.
Hasta luego.
When he said he makes love good, I wonder if Sonia, just for one brief moment, pictured him on top of her.
Oh, totally.
That would be one bizarre pairing.
Wow.
I don't think she would have been happy.
She actually rolled with him really well.
She did, but she totally let him run. I mean, the story was he just shot up a fucking insurance agency next door to his office.
I don't know who that producer is.
Somebody used his bathroom.
A producer said, keep him back for another segment. This is golden.
Absolutely.
Just let him go. Yeah. Let him say whatever he wants.
He shot up Adrienne's closet, too. He shot up all her clothes. Shot at her car as she was driving off.
His response would be, it's a man's world. He would just sing.
No, if you think about it, though, he did get punished. I mean,
yeah, he went to the.
I'm just thinking, if Springsteen did that, no, Springsteen wouldn't do that. If
shooting up Patty's closet.
It's just insane. I mean, who else would do that but James Brown?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think how long. Was he in prison for 4 years about? Is that something
about I think something.
About 4 years.
Yeah. Didn't they let him out because he wasn't, you know, completely well? Like, they got him off. They got him off on a...
They got him off. Yeah, they got him out. He was supposed to be in there longer. He died worth $100 million, supposedly. Wow. They're all fighting over his money, too. His kids are fighting like crazy. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Those glasses?
Those were the worst.
Totally safety glasses, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, give me some new glasses. I need some cool glasses.
Like, he came in from
weed
whipping.
Somebody found their welder. And went, this might be cool to him. I don't know. He was loving them, though. He thought he looked cool.
Oh, yeah.
He was sentenced to 6 years. He was out on parole after two.
Oh, okay.
Two.
That's not bad.
Yeah, no.
Hey, this is a crazy story. I know nothing about this story, so maybe somebody can fill me in. In Taos, 24-year-old died after crashing a stolen Michigan State Police car. He was found, this guy was arrested 4 a.m. Sunday in Taos on suspicion of drunk driving. He gets in the cop car and drives off.
How?
Cop car is running, I guess. He was found 20 miles away dead in the cop car.
Whoa.
Crashed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
I would think the cops would be in a little bit of trouble on this one.
Yeah. How do you get a cop car stolen?
And
by a drunk guy. Pretty crazy.
Drive.
But did anybody hear anything
miles.
About the story? No?
No.
WWJ was talking about it on the way over here.
Really?
Oh, they were?
Yeah, and the spokesman was like, well, we first need to figure out how we got in the car. Which, yeah.
I mean, this is really stupid. This is a
local
big screw
cop?
Up. Yeah, I think it's a local cop.
Not MSU.
So are they going to, is his family going to sue the police?
I would not be surprised. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but honestly, you know what? It is a little, how should this guy have ever gotten in a cop's driver's seat and driven off of the cop car?
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty nuts. I mean, I'm sure that cop was shocked as hell, but.
Yeah.
Well, how did he get 20 miles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't think
he was. Oh, he was arrested driving a golf cart without headlights.
What?
Drunk.
That was his original.
At 4 a.m.
Oh, he was on the road. He was going for beer or something.
You know, that's kind of a shitty
arrest. Driving home from
driving the a golf cart on the side of the road. Really? Drunk driving?
Oh, no lights.
Yeah. Yeah. He needed to charge his headlight. It's his fault.
See, you got to charge everything.
He went out spectacularly.
Sucks.
Did you guys see the story? I thought this was fake news at first, that the meth lab exploded in Shelby Township.
Oh, God, that was a wild story.
Got in his car and drove to Planet Fitness.
What? I don't know the story.
Why did he do that?
Because he wanted
to... Friday. Right as the news is coming on, it just happened. Who are you watching, by the way?
Oh, Channel 4.
I was watching Channel 4, too.
Yeah. Because they have showers.
What's the reporter's name that was doing the story?
Who that
was. Damn it. I know her name. She's been there a long time. Black chick. Reporter. She's
Channel
good.
Channel 4?
Yeah.
Tutman?
Paul Tutman. Paul Tutman. Paul Tutman was doing the story. Yeah. It's funny because she's like, it looks like it's about to rain here, so I'm going to have to hurry. And then she then she tells this wild-ass story. I mean, it was freaking crazy. A meth lab blows up. They've got shots of the house, smoke coming out of the house.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to go in there. Of course, it's a meth lab.
Yeah.
And the guy drives to Planet Fitness, runs in to take a shower. He's burnt. I mean, he's burned over
on
a lot of his
fire.
Body.
Yeah, he's driving on
wait,
fire.
Wait, was he a member?
No. Fuck no. I don't think so.
How do you get to the shower area? You got to be scanned when you go in there.
I don't think he was moving too slow.
He just stepped out of his way.
Well, it is a no judgment zone.
That's true.
Yeah, pretty much.
The guy just uses the shower. Can't say anything about it.
But
no judgment.
But, of course, he contaminated Planet Fitness completely.
Oh, boy.
So they got to clear the Planet Fitness out. And they won't let anyone near his car either.
Oh, my God.
So there's all these cars people can't get to, and they can't go in Planet Fitness to get their keys.
Oh, what an anchor this guy is.
Yeah,
why don't they make him get all their keys?
He fucked over a lot of people.
He's the only one that can go in there.
He's the only one that could drive them then. Once he got the keys, he's the driver. It'd be wild if they made him drive everyone home. Everyone just rode in the back of a pickup. You know, Trudy, I never heard the rest of the story, though. Did you ever hear more about it?
They haven't released his name yet.
Really?
I
can't
why.
Wait until they do. He's in Beaumont Hospital. And
oh, boy.
How bad?
Burns, probably a third degree all over much of his body. So
I'm going to hope that he didn't have like a wife and kids or something. Please tell me he didn't.
Does your account say that? Because
no, on the news, for me, it hasn't mentioned his name.
But apparently the car was the meth lab.
It was a rolling meth lab. However, he had taken...
Does he think he's Walter White?
Well, he had taken this rolling meth lab, the supplies that he had had in his car, to a friend's house in Shelby, where that's where he was attempting to cook. And that's where he had an issue. There was a fire. Boom. It wasn't his house at the...
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so
that house was smoking.
It was a girlfriend, a chick friend of his. And, of course, the neighbors saw, you know, they were hearing moans for help when they came over. The two guys, one of them was the one that ran into Planet Fitness. The two guys were loading their vehicles with all this meth stuff. And then they took off. And so the neighbors attempted to put out the fire, but it's
with their garden hoses.
Fire.
Oh my God!
And the water only makes it worse.
Yeah. Oh yeah, spreads it around.
And so this girl, unfortunately, had some pretty bad friends.
She has a pretty bad judgment in dudes too. So.
Ooh. What kind of car was it?
Sorry,
Crown Vic.
Yeah, I think it was a Crown Vic. That's right.
That's a spacious vehicle.
Oh, wait a sec. That would not be the car. I don't know what would be the car. What would be, that would not be the car I would cook meth in.
I would think you'd want an F-150 for a meth lab.
You want a lot of space.
Oh, transit.
A transit van. Well, clear. I mean, you can use a transit van for anything. We already know that.
Yeah.
It's got the room and the privacy.
Yeah, but you want some space.
But do you want a meth lab in an enclosed vehicle like that?
No.
That's just the F-150. It's perfect.
And it's obvious that they weren't wearing Walter White's hazmat suit.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Although he was in just his shorts, like Walter White was, remember, in the first season when they were cooking in the RV? Ran out?
Yeah, but I think he's stripped because
they were on fire.
The picture of the car in the parking lot had shoes right next to it. So I think he was stripping.
Oh, that's the end of those underwears. That's the end of those shoes.
I think the second guy is still on the loose.
Yeah, I think it was the guy with all the equipment.
No, they got the guy with the equipment.
Oh, but they busted that.
He was our showerer.
Oh no! Wow. I thought the two guys loaded their.
Yeah, they don't know what he has yet.
Oh. It was a multifaceted story. Yeah,
can you imagine working out on Planet Fitness and that dude just comes running in?
I know. I was trying to figure it out for myself. It's like, wow, you know.
I'm sure to do a few reps. You know, this guy's sprinting in to take the shower.
He drives over there. I'm on fire. I just got to drive myself to Planet Fitness to take a shower.
Wait, that's good thinking, though.
And did he drive the meth lab?
The worst thinking.
And now I'm really confused.
Well, like I said, the meth lab was actually set up in the house. It was used by the materials that he was driving around with. It was a rolling meth.
Okay.
So he transported the materials from the car to the house, blew up, then grabbed the materials, put them back in the car.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
While the motherfucker was on fire, he grabbed the materials?
Yeah.
The screen manager of Planet Fitness was on fire when he got out of his car. How long can you be on fire and still drive and function and do all those things?
I think that the fire had gone out and then started again somehow.
Oh, yeah. Fire does that.
Maybe he was smoking a cigarette on his way out there.
do you give him any bit of credit for going, I need to get in a shower? There's a Planet Fitness a mile away.
Yeah.
I do.
Knowing where all the showers are nearby.
I was just trying to analyze, like, what the percentage chance that his plan was going to get him out of trouble. That he was going to get in a shower, get the fire put out, get the shit out of the house, and no trouble for anyone.
Jet.
Everybody's fine. No big deal. A few burns. It'll be okay.
Why don't you... You're already,
what were the chances?
Shelby Township Police will never know.
Yeah. No cops. Planet Fitness isn't going to call the police. They're not going to be upset. Just a guy running in to take a shower. No big deal.
And then he's going to get out a piece of equipment and pretend he's been there for a while. Hey, what's going on? It's crazy.
Yeah, he puts a shirt on over, goes out, takes a few rounds of bench press. You
know, no judgment zone. Don't ask me any questions.
That's all. Forgot my card. Sorry.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was.
Honestly, if you blew up the house because you're in a rolling meth lab, why don't you just bring it to a house next door and use their shower?
Well, the guys next door had a garden hose, too. I mean,
why not just douse yourself with a hose?
He preferred, for some reason, to contaminate Planet Fitness than the neighbor's house. Maybe he's thinking about his girl.
You got to get a workout in?
His girlfriend.
I got to get two burns going at once.
Oh, boy.
In my body and out of my body.
Crazy.
Did you guys see the doctor who's going to do a head transplant? That story about him?
Fake!
A head transplant? How cool is that?
Do you think it's fake?
No, I think it's real. He's been working on it
for a couple years.
Yeah. He's been sort of noodling around what it would take, and then he finally figured out that
I'm sure it's going to look great.
That electricity is what it would take to finish it, to make all the neurons work. Yeah, that's why I thought it was fake, but it's in Business Insider. So
this is the guy.
Wait.
Yeah, that's the doctor.
He wants the head transplant because he could use one.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for thinking about it.
He's not going
to
look good.
He's volunteering to be the first head transplant.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fucking cool. Why not?
No, I mean,
please, please have it be a different ethnicity head to body. Please. Just like the penis transplant. Just be a different, be a black guy on a white person.
Oh, that would
or
be,
vice versa.
That would be great.
You know, Brandon sent me that story on penis contouring.
Yeah.
The latest in makeup is putting makeup on your dick.
Yeah, of course.
So,
I told
so
you
So the contouring looks better for shading, to make it
better. Yeah, for pictures, for selfies.
If anything is contoured, it's a penis. It doesn't need more contouring. Hey, it's ridiculous.
Could always make something look better.
Wait, why is it supposed to look more contoured?
I guess shading.
It makes it look bigger. Lighting makes everything look different, Trudy.
Yes, know. Lighting, shading.
So it's really dramatic looking.
Yeah, you need some angles down there.
This guy is some kind of makeup expert, too. He thinks he's gone from 5 to 9 inches.
He just wants to play with dicks.
True,
he wants
probably.
To play with other guys' dicks. He's like, I can make your dick look better.
So you come in and he like puts the paper around everything else.
I think he was trying to encourage you to do it on your own.
So
actually, he was claiming that he does it though.
Don't let him
bronzer.
Yeah, a little bronzer.
It's actually supposed to make the flaccid penis look bigger.
What?
Yeah, that's
what makes
line.
That bigger. Excitement.
The
actually.
Contouring makeup. Apparently,
his next thing you know, he's going to work on your butthole while you're there.
Oh,
I'll make it look brighter.
that's been done. Already.
Yeah, too late there.
Yeah. There, right, can I show you that fight scene from Tour de Pharmacy now?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Had it queued up.
Speaking of contoured penises.
Here you go, Jay.
A lot in this.
Up and over some of the most breathtaking hillscapes in the world. A serene landscape that was completely juxtaposed to the ugliness that was about to ensue.
The rider's still holding tight in the peloton.
See, Tour de France, 1982.
Not surprisingly, at the front of the pack. And it looks like we've got a beautiful fan up ahead.
Hey, bella signora!
A hot chick holding a sign, so he gropes her.
Can he stay up? Oh, no! Oh, no! Juju got too close! He's fallen over! It's a terrible crash! People are beginning to stand, which is a good sign.
It's not my fault. I lose the side of the road.
Hey, Juju.
Well, the first punch was obviously thrown by Dolce. He told me he used to have serious aggression issues because of all the testosterone he was on.
This is Lance Armstrong.
He'd kill me if he knew I was telling you guys about this.
Yavin Dolce was known for two things: fighting and his outfits that he claimed to be made from a high-tech breathable material he called Spanlon.
Yavin Dolce, win the competition!
He could see everything.
He was an odd bird. He seemed proud of what everyone could see was a very tiny, mis-shaped penis.
Like a pistachio nut in a dirty bird's nest.
Yavin's punch kicked off the most massive scuffle in Tour history.
Well, this is just awful. These men are literally trying to tear one another apart.
Cycles are incredible athletes as far as endurance goes, but a great deal of them fighting like little bitches.
No fight ever.
One of the cyclists who was on a bunch of steroids is played by John Cena, so he's huge.
Well, of course,
here's the two with his outfit.
As a boxer, it was offensive to me.
As is with every accident near Switzerland, a Saint Bernard is the first responder.
Look at him all slapping.
It's really peaty.
They try to hurt each other, but I'm a peaceful person. I don't do things like that.
That's John Cena now.
Please! Oh, my God! No, please, I'm
making... He's making...
Everything I did that day, I did in self-defense.
So basically what you have is John Cena lifts a nude guy up and has a dong about an inch from his face.
The race was expected to resume the following day.
Wow.
This whole 45-minute show, I was in tears.
I gotta watch this.
Oh, Will Forte! He speaks all in French, Will Forte, but the translation is he accidentally injects methamphetamines into himself, so his sexual awareness is heightened, and he wants to be fucked in the ass by his baton. There you just play. There you just.
C'est super.
If you take too strong a dose of amphetamines, they can act as a super powerful aphrodisiac.
Fais-moi avec ça.
No, no.
Fais-moi avec ça.
Bisma, Bisma!
No!
Bisma!
No!
Bisma!
No!
Bisma!
He's basically saying, F me with this, his baton.
No!
Bisma,
Bonsoir!
He sits on it!
Oh, je suis un homme triste!
Oh. When I took a large dose of amphetamine,
he's supposed to be the head of the doping agency, Nathan Felder.
Why are you the head of the anti-doping agency? Tried amphetamines.
Oh, we have to try every drug on our band list. So we know what we're dealing with. I actually paint what the experiences are like, so I can remember the effects of each drug. Would you like to see them? So this is what I painted while I was on amphetamines. It's kind of what I felt like when I did the drug.
And is that you sucking a bear's dick?
Yeah. Yeah. This is when I did crack cocaine. So you can see how similar the two drugs are.
It's the same picture. Right, it's you sucking a bear's dick again.
That one? Oh, this is from when I did meth. So you can see that meth is a very different drug than the other two.
Sure, because the bear is now sucking your dick.
Yeah.
I'm telling you,
and his paintings,
all of them are for sale.
In an attempt to quell the media frenzy.
It's such a good show.
Have you ever seen his show?
It's one of my favorite shows of all time.
Will Forte's?
Nathan For You.
Nathan For You, yeah. Where he does, he kind of does like a stunt sort of.
Improves your business.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the exercise movers.
Funny.
Yeah.
His delivery is so dry.
So deadpan.
That he can just do the most outrageous things.
Well, he did the coffee thing. What was the coffee?
Starbucks, not Starbucks coffee.
Not Starbucks, yeah.
And it's all legally vetted. And yeah, no, that show's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Preposterous, but damn funny.
It's great.
Yeah, I forgot about Nathan For You. Is that still on?
It hasn't been on in a while.
Talking about that coming back, but then
I love how he always went to the same people as experts, and they were just exhausted by him, like lawyers and the former judge to ask him questions.
Oh boy!
Oh man!
Did you guys talk about the lowballing of Chauncey Billups? I know that's a sports
Chauncey thing. Billups
for
Cootie. This isn't a sports podcast.
I know, but I love Chauncey.
I love Chauncey, too. What, did Cleveland lowball him? I haven't been reading, sports this week.
They've lowballed everybody.
What'd they offer him?
Well, I can't remember the guy's market. Name right here. The previous guy was only getting about $2 million. And for a GM in the NBA, that's nothing.
Yeah.
According to sources, the team's initial offer was $1.5
million. Yeah, it's pretty
what?
Low.
Yeah.
Sources told $4 million is typically the starting point.
Yeah. That's brutal.
Now
that's I'm shocked. Dan Gilbert, who's willing to pay $520 million to get the jail built in downtown Detroit, so he can put his stadium where the jail was being built, which, by the way, has cost the city now. You know, I remember at the time, it's only $1.8 million a month or something for it to sit idle because they started building it and then they stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were asking for another $90 million. It was like, no, not another $90 million. So it's now been sitting, I think, for 5 years. So it's eaten up about $70 or $80 million. Like, it's only one. Yeah, you add it up over 5 years. It's a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, and you're not making any tax revenue that you could be making.
Right. So Dan Gilbert could put his little stadium there, and they'd have all kinds of tax revenue.
What do you do if you're Dan Gilbert regarding the Cavs? I mean,
I don't understand, why is he lowballing his GM?
Don't you just sit down and say, LeBron, what is it going to take to keep you here? But it sounds like LeBron is just done with him again.
Really?
Sounds like, that letter when LeBron left and went to Miami still has just...
I can't believe he came back, though. Why would you come back?
Well, like he said in the SI article,
Oh, that letter that he didn't write, you mean?
Yeah. You know what I always remember about that? The author is Leroy Jenkins was the author of that article.
No!
Well, Lee Jenkins is an SI writer. Leroy! But he's so gone. LeBron's so gone. So what do you do if you're Gilbert? I think you sit him down and say, what does it take to keep you here? I'll give you anything you want.
Or you sign somebody else.
At least I have chicken.
They get a roster.
Yeah, right. They're cooked without LeBron.
Well, but they do have Love, and they've got a pretty good point guard.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I mean, they've got a little bit of history of success.
Well, they really boned themselves because they could have gotten Paul George. That Paul George trade, they gave him up for nothing. I don't know. Anyway, sports.
Sorry.
I was going to mention I noticed I was reading a lot of the comments, and I felt the same way. Cabrera today to be bitching about just make the trades and get it done.
you know, he's tired of reporters asking him about it. He's tired of people talking.
Sorry.
You paid $30 million a year, dude. I think you can live with a little uncertainty. Not to mention the fact that if they were even playing 500 baseball, if they're winning every other game, the Tigers would probably not move anyone. They're
just
what,
win.
What are they, 9 games under 500? Yeah. Fulmer won last night, didn't he?
Yeah, our only All-Star. Or no, there's two All-Stars. Upton is our reserve.
What did Fulmer do last night? I thought I heard that he won. But
he gave up a long ball.
Just one? I mean, what's the final score last night?
5-3.
But Fulmer did get the win?
Yeah.
And, you know, some people were saying he should have skipped his start so he could pitch in the All-Star game.
No.
Are you fucking kidding me?
That's ludicrous.
What the hell is that?
Who would say that? Yeah,
people were saying it in the comments.
Doesn't mean anything.
These idiots.
No.
Anyway.
Honestly, why do they even play the All-Star game?
You know, it is starting to seem really dumb. Half the guys are injured or can't play or don't want to play. Nobody wants to be in the home run derby.
Although it's a little more fun now that it doesn't determine who gets home field advantage in the World Series. They're done with that ridiculous idea.
It was, I agree. It was stupid.
I don't know.
I just, this whole business of, you know, Verlander was talking about it last week and Miggy was talking about it this week. If they had played and they could have so easily won 5 more games in the first half than they did, this wouldn't even be in discussion. They've played completely horse bleep. When they pitch, they don't hit. When they hit, they don't pitch. When they hit and pitch, they don't relieve. I mean, and when they hit, pitch, and relieve, they don't field. They have so many issues on this team. It's an aging roster of people that we love because we've seen Kinsler play. We've seen Miggy play. We've seen Martinez. Both Martinezes in the lineup. We love them both.
I don't
you know, you love these guys.
But JD is gone.
He's so gone. You know what's so sad about it? He's the guy they should have signed.
Mm-hmm.
Miguel Cabrera is on a downward swing right now.
Yeah, but
JD Martinez is more valuable.
The old man loved Miggy.
That contract is nuts.
No, it's insane.
It's totally nuts. I never thought the Verlander deal would be better than the Miguel Cabrera deal. It's so much better deal. And he's not even pitching well this year. And I'm still saying that because I think Verlander still has his shit.
Oh, the news story, because, you know, there's been all this talk about Verlander going to the Cubs.
Yeah.
Usually with Avila.
Do you see him pitching against Cleveland, by the way? I think it was Saturday night.
Yeah.
Verlander can still throw.
I'll tell
you. One run in 7 innings?
I'll never doubt him because I doubted him and thought he was cooked.
He's not cooked.
Like 2 years ago.
Yeah, no, I did too.
Proved everybody wrong.
I did too. I really did.
But now the Cubs are like, no, we don't want Verlander. We want Fulmer or Norris.
I'm glad. I'd rather I would hate to see Verlander go. I really
giving
would.
Up Fulmer or Norris. And Norris
no,
isn't
we're not.
What we thought he was right now.
Not available.
Yeah.
Sorry. So what's actually, you know what? Norris for the right, if somebody's got something big in return, I don't know. He's a young left-hander, but
it's
going to
be ugly. It's going to be ugly.
It's going to be really ugly. Norris has been here now for, this is almost 2 years for Norris.
Yeah.
Do you feel real confident when Norris goes out to the hill?
Well, that's what I said. He's not what we thought he was going to be.
Not yet. I mean, I still believe in him, maybe.
Is he a three?
A couple years from now, maybe a year from now. But I don't see it right now. He's really erratic. But anyway, I don't know. It's just a really tough year. The attendance is the worst since 2005, I was reading about today, which is believable. I mean,
yeah, people working like Hebrew slaves. I mean, that's according to them.
This team missed the postseason by one game last year, but it's the same. You know, it's this aging group of guys. They're all playing under their potential. I was reading, I think it was the same story about Miggy today, and I forgot who wrote it, but they were talking about how the short reliever, or the closer, gone.
Yeah.
The power hitter, Miggy, is hitting 57 points below his career average. The 300 hitter, which is Victor, is hitting 248. Verlander's ERA is like a run .2 higher than his career average. I mean, he's been way off. I still think he could have a good season with a good second half, which he can. But there's just so many disasters in that lineup. Kinsler's hitting 243, which would be his worst season ever.
He's
so many guys playing
he's still
under.
Still attractive though for another.
Yeah, he's got. He almost hit his 10th homer the other night. I don't know if he's hit it since. I just saw he had 9 home runs and he hit one and got caught against the wall on. I think that was Thursday or Friday. He's been hitting for power lately. Plays a great second base.
Don't you expect the lineup in August to be? Huh? Who are these people?
Could be. Yeah.
They have
could
to.
Be.
They have to blow it up.
No,
they
it could be.
Shed
it could
bad,
be really ugly.
Bad contract.
But I'll tell you what's going to piss me off is if they don't get anything for any of these guys, like J.D. Martinez, who is tearing it up.
How much confidence do you have in
none?
Alejandro?
Next to none.
I know.
Sorry.
Well, why would you?
And Alex Avila has to go. Alex Avila is finally hitting, and they're going to trade him.
Gotta blow him out.
Come on, how many years have we waited for Alex Avila to hit over 210?
Well, they had 1 year.
He's hitting 300 with 11 home runs, and all of a sudden he has to be moved?
Speaking of sports, there's a great caller to a New York.
Oh, oh yeah.
WFAN, home of Mike Francesa. He's on vacation this week, so Chris Christie got to fill in.
Oh, Chris.
What a stupid idea.
Well, I love what I gotta tell you, this would be a brilliant hire because he's such a dick.
Well, this is funny because he just got busted for suggesting, or didn't they say, hey, did you have some time on the beach today or something? He said, no, I didn't get any sun today. And then they found out he was on the beach the day the beaches were closed.
Yeah, they were having a budget dispute, so he closed all the state beaches.
And then went out and had a party on the beach, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the governor has a residence on one of the beaches. He's like, you don't like it? Run for governor.
Yeah, if you want to be the governor.
What an asshole. As if every, you know, anybody can just win. So here he is hosting today on WFAN.
Mike in Montclair. What's up, Mike?
Governor, next time you want to sit on a beach that is closed to the entire world except you, you put your fat ass in a car and go to one that's open to all your constituents.
Well, you know,
not just you and yours.
Interesting, Mike. You know what?
What's that, Gov?
You know, Mike, I love getting calls from communists in Montclair.
Communists in Montclair.
You know,
you're a bully, you Governor, are, you know, no, and I don't like bullies.
You know what? And listen, I'm not the one who came on the air. Hey, hold on, Mike. Mike, I'm not the guy who came on the air, swore on the air.
Who swore?
And so you did.
I swear. When did you swear?
You're swearing on
fat
the air, Mike. You're a bum.
You know, so let's.
This is a guy who closes a bridge to piss off. Mike, give me a break. Fuck you.
Every day, buddy. You know what? And you know what, Mike? What matters is what you do. That's what matters.
What have you done?
What I just did was stop polluting the airways with a guy like that. Now, listen, these guys are going to come on and notice they're both from Montclair.
Well, you know what's so funny? Can I just say?
Yeah. I told you when the calls came up, right?
I said to the governor, I said, man, you're popular in Montclair. We got a few guys up. And you're like, no, Evan, I'm not popular in Montclair.
No, there's no chance.
What's this hard on about Montclair?
I don't know.
In my state in 2013, when I won 19 out of 21 counties and got 61% of the vote, you know, I lost Montclair.
Ooh.
So
they don't like you there.
No. And the editorial page editor of the largest newspaper lives in Montclair. I mean, this is a town that, let's just say, to be charitable, leans leftward.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Whatever.
Wouldn't he be a great hire, though?
You know, why?
I would listen to that all day.
I don't know why. You know what I would have done? I would have just shut the guy down and said, you know what? I apologize. That was really stupid. It was bad imaging. It was dumb. It was elitist. And I'm really sorry about that. But I think he made himself sound like a much bigger asshole, didn't he?
Yeah, because I think he's trying to get that gig. And he thinks that's what works.
What, the gig of asshole? Because he got that a long time ago.
Yeah,
he's all set with that.
Just being a combative radio host.
You think he wants Mike Francesa's job?
Oh, yeah.
Chris Christie?
What's he going to do? He couldn't get a
job.
Could not get a job in Trump's cabinet or his administration. He got fired from being in charge of the, the transition team?
Yeah.
I mean, what is he going to do? Because he's term limited out. What's he going to do? He's the least popular government in the history of the Quinnipiac poll.
I have no idea why people listen to Mike Francesa in the first place. I find him utterly boring.
He is. He's terribly boring.
Yeah. I mean, he's supposed to be such a big deal.
History, legacy. Yeah.
Does he have ratings?
You know what? I think he gets beat by the ESPN station there.
Oh, wow.
You know, isn't that funny that we lose our job when we're actually number one with men in all of Detroit? And there's fucks like Mike Francesa. How many dicks does he suck to keep his job all these years? I'm not serious.
That is what it takes.
I guess so. I guess I'm glad we
I don't know what,
jobs,
what he provides that people like to listen to, because anytime I hear a clip from him, it's just drones on.
Chris Christie's worth $4 million celebrity net worth.
But seriously, what does he do out of this other than work in media of some sort?
It makes sense.
Bathing suit model, because
for as Drew likes to say, XXXXXXXXXXL.
He that thing he was wearing on the beach where he sprawled out like beach whale,
hilarious.
Where there's black spandex and maybe there's like 3 inches protecting our eyes from seeing whatever's underneath there.
I know.
Like, that's my eyes went to that first, and you might think I'm a creep for that, but it was like,
oh, it's so gross.
He's it was like, worse when he was playing baseball. Remember?
Oh, yeah, his moose knuckle.
His midriff bulge. Yeah, look at that. Look at that. How could he even put on a uniform? Just
did
don't
he not
play.
Look in the mirror? And nobody stopped him?
Yeah, that is the worst look.
It's a look. The you need worst baggier look. Pants, dude.
I can't believe he walked out of the locker room looking like that. Wow. That is so bad.
He thinks he looks good.
I think he did all of that. He's a provocateur, though, and I think he did that definitely just
yeah.
to get
yeah,
people.
Yeah, he loved it.
Just piss people off.
I love it. Get your fat ass in a car.
No, the caller was great. That's what's fun about New York radio, I have to say.
Yeah.
July 11th, Today in Rock. I want to mention July 6th, by the way. We missed it, but it was the anniversary of McCartney and Lennon meeting. 60 years. Oh. 60 years.
July 11th, happy birthday to my brother.
Maz.
Pulling a Maz, yeah. It's my brother.
They met at the fair, at the church fair. John was singing Come Go With Me.
Oh, yeah.
And he had substituted lyrics. I guess he didn't know the lyrics. So anyway, Paul met him afterwards, and Paul said, I can play 20 Flight Rock. And John said, really? Yeah, good. And gives him his guitar, and Paul played a good 20 Flight Rock. And John was faced with the prospect of, this guy's really talented. Do I want him in my band? He's kind of a challenge. And he decided he wanted a great band. So he hired, Paul took the job the next day.
Wow.
I know. It's such a great story. Yeah. And then George, he brings George along, who's his little buddy.
Right.
And just killed George, that he'd always refer to George as, yeah, George is like my little buddy, you know, my little brother. And George is like, I'm not his fucking little brother anymore. But he's always, and I don't think he meant it offensively. Somebody sent us a really cool email, by the way, about we have a listener who was a Secret Service person for 7 years. And he
really?
Was at the White House when they honored McCartney.
Oh, my God.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, when all those people played. And he said all the staff was weaseling out to watch him warm up. Oh. And so McCartney, I guess, turned the stage toward him and was kind of goofing on him.
Oh, that's
coming
cool.
out.
McCartney turns
very
the stage
cool
towards them. Like Dave Matthews comes to our building and we can't look at him. And McCartney yeah. literally turns his stage to accommodate people.
It was something to that effect. It was a very positive wow. experience. And then he said they asked for someone to put their passports and stuff. So, mm-hmm. he of course, he went through McCartney's passport. He said he's never seen one with so many stamps.
Oh, that's
oh,
awesome.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
God.
I'll have to read the whole thing. I can't remember where it was. But somewhere in our email. Anyway, today is the 11th and... just a few things. 69, Space Oddity by David Bowie, released in the UK for the first time, which was to coincide with the moon landing, ooh. But it had to be re-released before it became a hit later in the year.
Cool.
But not until 73 in the U.S. for some strange reason.
We landed on the moon!
Wait, we made the deadline and got to the moon, but we couldn't get the song on the
no,
air?
No, I guess not.
That's
such an
tragic
obvious
screw
too for the time. Come on. 71 on this day, the Bruce Springsteen Band opened for Humble Pie in Asbury Park.
Steve
Bruce's
Madden.
Backyard.
Wow.
That was Frampton in Humble Pie then?
I don't know if he was, but isn't...
Was yeah, he was. He was. After the show, an impressed Peter Frampton tells Springsteen and the band he'd like to have them open for them on a national basis.
Huh.
Cool.
Okay.
Was Peter like 15 at the time? And
he was really young.
He was 16.
Yeah, he was, he was quite a prodigy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see, what else? Oh, Jerry's ties went on sale on this day in 92.
Did you have any of those?
I did. Never wore it.
I've never seen you in a tie.
No,
I don't think I've ever seen Drew in a tie either.
No.
I can't remember the last time I wore a tie, honestly. I really can't.
They were sort of cool.
Yeah, they were.
I remember you in a tie, but I think it was a skinny tie.
I like skinny ties.
Yeah.
Hey, Drew Wave, you know. Some things die hard.
And the Jerry ties were like regular. You know,
they were cool.
Yeah,
they were. They were good. This is one of the few rock and roll products I can think of that were actually kind of neat.
Yeah.
Let's see. Limp Bizkit was number one in this day in 99. Boy, that they died fast, didn't they?
What song? Do you know what song it was?
It was the album, Significant Other. Mm. What's Fred Durst doing now?
Oh, it's funny.
Miserable. He did make some news.
He was hosting jazz night at some jazz club in L.A. recently.
What?
Yeah. Fred Durst was hosting
Fred Durst
jazz
is now
night.
In jazz?
Apparently. Yeah, and it was the same Fred Durst. Because the way the story went, the author of the article said he heard that this was happening and he didn't believe it, so he went down there himself. And there was Fred Durst, who apparently loves jazz.
Wow.
Yeah. So, to answer your question, Drew, he's not really doing much.
No.
He doesn't have to. He's worth $20 million.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's draining it, though.
Wasn't he in country? Didn't he cross over to country? Or was
it
that
wouldn't
another?
Surprise me.
2000,
2009, I Got a Feeling, the Black Eyed Peas started a 14-week run at number one in the U.S. single charts, ending the 12-week run of the band's previous single, Boom Boom Pow, only the fourth to replace themselves at number one in chart history, following the Beatles, Boys to Men, and Outkast. In 2014, Tommy Ramone died, following unsuccessful treatment for bile duct cancer, which is rarely successful. Boy, all the Ramones dying so young, except Marky, the drummer.
I remember talking to him.
Yeah, he was a good interview, actually. Yeah. He's pretty cool. But he was the least Ramone-y of the Ramones, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And they hated him, too, for cashing in all the time. He's always trying to sell his shit. Like,
you know, what do you do at some point?
I know. I guess they were still going at the time. They didn't want him selling his drumsticks everywhere for $50. Anyway, I guess that's about it. We should run. Jay, get us out of here. This is hard work.
How far are we right now?
2 hours, 9 minutes.
Okay. I know someone that's going to be sad.
Nine.
Who's going to be sad?
My dad's going to be very sad.
Oh, wait. Oh, my gosh.
I've been looking for him, too, in the background, just wandering, because I guarantee you he is on that field right now.
Oh, the music stopped. What happened? Is Al controlling the board?
Are we going to call him?
I don't care if you do or not. I'm just saying he's going to be very
I don't have much energy left. I mean, I don't care. You want to call him? Yeah, call him. What the fuck?
Call him tomorrow before the game.
Okay, yeah, let's call him tomorrow.
You want. Yeah. But we're going to have to do
Maz
it
Maz will be here. It's better. Maz will be
delighted. Oh, no. I don't know if I can handle both of them. I'm not joking.
It's a bit.
All right.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.
I'm going to go cycle.
Getting around is pretty much over, huh?